Hey, what's poppin'? It's a new week on the Drew and Mike podcast, and it's the smaller show, the Sunday version.
Intimate.
With just Mark and Brandon and myself, and we are in the DealsInTheD.com studios. Wow, I just thought that was a great night watching basketball. I know the results were a bummer for Michigan State fans, and I was rooting hard for them, too.
Yeah, but that Texas Tech team, man.
That Owens guy, I was so sad when he twisted his ankle. And, boy, that wasn't just a little twist. And the son of a gun comes back out there.
After he got, like, two concussions earlier in the game, too.
What a difference maker he was. He was amazing. Michigan State couldn't do anything inside all night. I got to tell you, I don't like being down on somebody after they go to the Final Four, but I thought Ward was, can he dunk the ball? Can he just go up and dunk the ball
with
once
that much
or
weight,
twice?
You'd think so. No, I know. But
Henry squeezed through a couple times, but
honestly, it felt a lot like Michigan, except Michigan State has some shooters. But offensively, it felt the same way. They're going to push you off the three, and then they'll block anything inside.
They couldn't make any shots either. I mean, the open shots they had, they missed a lot of.
Their lowest field goals in 7 years, I think, in a game.
Yeah, 14 field goals in the whole, or 15 in the game,
14,
I think, or 16,
think.
Something.
Or no, 15. I think 14 was their previous low.
Woo! But it was a great night for white guys, as two white guards were the difference makers. As I thought I was watching Hoosiers for a while. When that guy, what's his name, Mooney?
I guess I don't see color because I didn't think about that.
You just don't see white guys winning basketball games very often. Not
wait,
little,
wait,
not
wait,
guards.
Wait, wait. Last year's championship game was because of a white guy. That Dante, long Italian name for Villanova.
The guy with the nasty tweets?
That's how I remember him. He shot lights out against Michigan.
Oh, it's just the whites? Oh, who cares about the whites? They're fine.
Not to mention Wagner, who had, you know.
Was he 6'3 or under?
I think so. He's a guard.
Well, I'm just saying, both games, two white guys who looked like they could have been in the movie Hoosiers.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget Matt McQuaid. He had a hell of a game for
State. He also missed a big three. So the white guys were really determining the outcome of those games.
White guys, white guards.
We should start white guy sports. Would that have some appeal, possibly? I mean, it's a niche world podcasting.
To some people, yeah.
Well, but in football, how often do you see a white running back run for 100 yards? Shouldn't that be big news? Hey, a white running back run. Oh, my God.
Has McCaffrey done it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
A couple times.
I mean,
but generally speaking, I know that's actually a great topic.
It starts with Mike Alstott, right? Because isn't he the golden child of white running backs?
No, but I think you got to go back to Jim Taylor and
I loved Corey Schlesinger.
Corey, yeah, he's a fullback though.
Let's talk about the great white running backs.
How about
of all
Matt
time.
Sui?
You know, I know we're supposed to believe that everyone's exactly the same, but for some reason, it sure seems that white running backs and white basketball players, what's going on there? Are they being cheated?
I think there's plenty of
playing the race card. It's so typical of you white people.
I'm not playing any race card. I'm saying give the black athletes their due. They're dominating basketball and football. They are. I mean, I don't really want to get into this, but is there any question about that?
No. I think it's been that way for a long time.
And
Does that bother people?
No, I'm just saying. But I don't. I think
course,
we're supposed to believe
it.
That everyone's the same.
Oh,
men's
no.
basketball and women's basketball are the same. Everything should be the same. Everyone should have the same amount of money. Everyone should be the same. And
how often do I say it? It's really amazing to me that, like LeBron James and I are the same species. We're totally just how we're built. I mean, it's an unfair advantage that.
But
he has.
I'm comparing him against the best, of the best, and it seems that
obviously
the white guy is a little bit on the outside of things.
That's the point of athletic competition. We're not all the same.
No, we're not. But I think there's a feeling that we're all the same in other areas of that. You know, for example, the Notre Dame coach who was such a. Can you go to Good Morning America?
Yeah.
On Saturday.
By the way, the Tiger game's on.
This fucking bitch. Is she's all ripped up because all the coaches in women's basketball aren't women. And
why should they be?
Well, first of all, they loved it when men with names would come to women's basketball because they brought something Remember Bill Laimbeer was the coach of the WNBA?
Yeah.
Did anyone care about anything but that Bill Laimbeer was the coach?
No.
The sport is not as good as the men's version, lady, so get over it. But she has to come out and make this really big statement about, I'm tired of, I'm only hiring female assistants.
Okay.
No men!
Go ahead and limit yourself then.
Yeah. I thought if you were on the short end of the stick, that your belief would be let the best person win. If it happened fairly, that they would.
Besides, she's still the head coach, and she's the one in charge.
No, no, she's getting all the glory. And by the way, bitch, your budget comes from men's basketball and men's football and Title IX. That's why you fly on fancy planes to away games. So get over yourself.
You said on GMA today?
No, it was yesterday.
Oh, balls.
Bill Laimbeer is actually still coaching. He's with the Las Vegas Aces.
Oh, that's right. They're the ones that had to give up their that game because they were too tired to play in D.C.
Yeah. Yeah, because they didn't have the same flight arrangements as the men's basketball teams because they're a charity league because the NBA throws money into the WNBA to keep it rolling.
I have a feeling that was not Lamb's choice, though.
I don't know that he agreed with his players, actually. And they should have played anyway.
Of course they should have. They get paid to play.
Yeah. Well, there have been times when NBA teams have had weather issues and they've arrived late and they played Michigan basketball. And the
difference is they have paying customers.
Tournament. Yeah. And by the way, what is with all this talk about the women's Final Four? Is somebody watching it?
No. Yeah.
So why is it like 13 minutes into GMA, the women's Final Four?
Is that really that
important a story? Or are we saying this should be an important story? Isn't that what they're doing? They're saying this is what you should care about as much as the men. We know you don't, but we're gonna pretend you do.
Yeah, I don't get it. What kind of ratings does it even do?
Women's basketball?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you think the college women's championship?
I don't think they pay billions of dollars for the rights to it.
I don't know.
Okay, let's watch a story. But the highlights are great, too.
I got to find it first. But the, how was I saying?
Wait, is that yesterday's?
Yeah.
That was just a promo.
Oh, okay.
What?
Oh, it showed there was a clip of women playing basketball.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was probably that set up. That was probably
I thought it was after
the Final Four.
That's probably it right there, maybe. No?
That's the.
I swear to God,
I think this is today's again, which I just went through.
I thought it was like 15 after.
Okay, God.
Yesterday's GMA. But while you're looking.
This might take
a while. Let's go over what these white guys did.
Slow down.
Kyle Guy's three-pointer with 7.4 seconds left. That was huge.
Yeah.
They couldn't make a three-pointer all night, and he banged a beautiful shot from the corner. Then again, he's missed free throws. Jared Harper misses a free throw.
What did he make? 15 in a row before that?
Yep. Just like Purdue when Klein missed for Purdue, and that game went into overtime. And so then Ty Jerome dribbles the ball off his ankle.
White guy.
Goes back, picks it. Another white guy. Look at the white guys who are doing everything in this game. He picks the ball up and dribbles furiously to take a long shot. He double dribbled. I yelled at the screen right then, wait, isn't that a double dribble? And I'm sure a lot of people did.
Yeah.
Luckily for him,
I thought the other guy had hit it or something.
Jesus, it was a white man too.
I didn't see anybody near the ball but him. It looked like he fucked it up, and he did. But Auburn still fouled him, which was unfortunately for them.
They shouldn't have, but good luck, you know, in the midst of it to think, oh, I don't need to foul him now because the ball just wasted, you know, went backwards and wasted five more seconds.
Sometimes a second, you know, you can be a second off, and if there were 2.5 seconds, maybe he gets up to the three-point line and just drains it. So then Kyle Guy of the Cavaliers, pumps that three-pointer and gets fouled.
Boys.
And that's the second time a three-point shot at the very end of a game.
Which was a foul. I don't know why there's so much talk about that.
Because they never call fouls at the end of games.
Well, but it's a foul. I mean, you should call it the same all the time.
I see them in the middle all the time. When the ball's inside, you see guys just getting hammered and they don't call it. I don't know why. But
he's such a nice guy.
Then he makes all three free throws.
That was surprising. I thought there's no way he'd make all three.
I didn't
Great
either.
Guy.
And he made the first two, and then they called timeout. He had to sit and come back and shoot another one. So here's to the – why didn't Budweiser do it? Here's to the white basketball player. Anyone used to do that?
Fun fact on Guy, by the way. You know,
and by the way, I'm not saying the black guys weren't dominant as hell.
Don't
in this
backtrack.
Game.
Don't backtrack.
No, I'm not backtracking. I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out because it's so rare
whites.
That you see Hoosier type guys.
Except
tearing
for last
it up.
Year's championship game.
Where are you in the
what? This is yeah, I've gone through whites. Yesterday's and I've gone, are you sure it's GMA?
It was oh shit.
It was GMA 2 days ago.
It might have been the Today Show.
Could have been Friday GMA?
It could have been the Today Show.
Well, here's
show.
The here's the talk about the women's Final Four.
That's not it.
That's not it.
It's if the Notre Dame coach isn't making a face like she's the biggest beast on the planet. That's not it.
Muff
it's it? It's Today's
yeah,
show.
Yeah, Muff.
It's Today's show from yesterday.
Well, so it's they're, gone. They're covering it back. Too.
It's gone.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No. The Women's Final Four. Everybody's watching it apparently because it's early in the weekend news.
I almost expect GMA to because wasn't it on ESPN?
Yeah, well, they did cover it. You saw where they covered it.
Yeah, no, I expect GMA to. I wouldn't think that.
Well, Today's show, they pretend it's important, too.
Oh, look at this. It's queued up. It looks like it's queued up on the Today show.
Oh, I think because I ran it. I watched it again
exactly.
After I watched it the first one. Let me do the Facebook right. And
then we'll watch Muff.
Cinco de Mayo is almost here. A Mesa Tacos and Tequila on Main Street in Royal Oak is the place to celebrate the Mexican Army's defeat of the French Empire.
Yeah.
Period. In fact, celebrating Cinco de Mayo is so much fun this year. Mesa Tacos and Tequilas will be celebrating not one, not two, but three straight days. Yes.
Not uno, not dos.
Not tres.
Pero tres dias.
Be May 3rd, Friday. May 4, Saturday.
Who the hell is Eduardo Sanchez?
And Maya Cinco de Mayo on Sunday. They're on Main Street between 3rd and 4th. They got the big screen, too, if you want to go. Tonight.
Oh, you can watch the female championship game.
Yeah, you can watch the, well, that's not the same night as the men's.
Oh, no,
the
men's are tomorrow. Tonight. Yeah, I'm sorry, for the most people listening, yeah.
Yeah, men's are tonight and women's are
happened
Tuesday
yesterday.
Night. Oh, it already happened, yeah. Okay. Oh, sorry, we don't have a result on that. Maybe we'll put out a separate podcast for that.
Yeah, by the way, you know it's not important because I think they tip off at 6 o'clock as opposed to prime time.
Ah! And, of course, you can
bet. It's true, though.
Can you bet on the women's game?
Yeah, should I?
Let's put in a bet.
Okay, why not?
I'll be interested in the game if we have a bet.
Well, we already have a rooting interest. I mean, we don't want to root for Muff.
Oh, no. No, anybody but Notre Dame. I want to see that beast go down. Oh, my God, what a horror show. First off, mybookie.com, they will match your deposit with a 50% bonus. Put in a grand, get $500 of house money. Now, check the rules, and you may not want to do that if you want to pull your money out fast or something like that. You can't just get the bonus and take it. So there you go. Place your bets with MyBookie now before you miss out and use promo code Drew to activate the offer. You play, you win, you get paid only at MyBookie.ag. So go ahead, call that upset. Take that money line. Do whatever it is to pocket the cold, hard cash and double your paycheck. They've been in business for years at MyBookie.com. They're growing. The best part, they pay out fast. So when you call that upset, you're in the money.
Do it. Get it done.
No. Oh, wait. Women's, it's way down on the list.
Let's promo code Drew.
Women's NCAA lines. We can get Baylor giving up 2.5.
I got to pick. I have to root for Baylor. I can't root for Notre Dame.
Okay. I'm going to put money on Baylor.
And you'll see. You'll hear why, and you'll see why.
Wait a sec. Their over-under for that game is more than the men's game.
What? Really?
Yeah.
They can make that many baskets?
Well, there's a lot of layups. They don't play. Those broads don't play defense.
Well, let's take a look at the story here. Maybe
Scott
Bush. If I'm wrong on this, if this woman's being reasonable, let me know.
Put down the Huskies for a second straight year.
Wow, McCall, look at that crowd.
And the Fighting Irish knocking off the UConn Huskies and their male coach, Gino Auriemma.
Those all the empty seats down close.
The two coaches barely acknowledging each other after the
Whoa,
game.
Oh, icy.
The Ooh. Victory coming after McGraw made an impassioned plea for gender equality in her sport and in society as a whole.
I'm getting tired of the novelty of the first female governor of this state, the first female African-American mayor of this city. When is it going to become the norm instead of the exception?
After
McGraw,
the first.
Who's won more than 900 times
Actually,
on the basketball
the
court,
Heads
has
up.
Had an all-female staff since 2012. She says she's never going to hire a male assistant coach ever again.
What?
Men
that's
run
discrimination.
The world. And when these girls are coming out, who are they looking up to tell them that that's not the way it has to be?
Auriemma, the UConn coach, has been...
Well, then let's be ballsier, lady, and let's not accept donations to your university from men, and let's not allow male officials.
Yeah, how about we don't take any money from the men's program then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of that.
Because without
men's modern science going to find a cure for a woman's mouth?
When people stop donating or you stop collecting money from the men's basketball program through Title IX, then your salary, it gets pretty good dunking, bitch.
Critical of McGraw in the past, saying earlier this year, quote, Muffet is entitled to hire anybody she wants. I don't know why she feels a need to make a statement about it. I've never hired a guy as one of my assistants either. I'm not going to make a statement about it. In 1972, 90% of women's college teams in all sports had female coaches.
Because no one wanted to coach.
It's down to just over 40%.
Because they pay, because they're funded by men's basketball.
99% of the jobs go to men. Why shouldn't 100 or 99% of the jobs in women's basketball go to women?
Stop
McGraw,
bitching about women coaching in the men's sport, bitch.
And the women's basketball team now hoping to take home a national championship tomorrow night.
And tomorrow night,
you can
Notre
have your women's basketball
Baylor
lady.
That's really stupid thing for her to say.
What a fucking moron. See, I don't mind the idea that, yeah, there should be a female governor. There should be a.
Why you give me the name?
Well, you're coaching Notre Dame and you're benefiting because you're not a victim. Yeah. You are far less than a victim. You're a charity case. Men's basketball pays for you thanks to legislation,
that's
you dope.
Really embarrassing.
What a beast.
She's very firm. Oh, speaking of women's basketball.
I will never hire a man again.
I don't think I've ever
used... That's a good way. That's really a good way to improve things by always hiring one person specifically and ignoring the other person. Yeah. So let's screw people to make your point, bitch.
Really stupid.
By the way, I don't take no orders from no women.
Is she married?
I doubt it.
Well, remember we always talked about Pat Summitt.
Married to her job.
Yes.
Oh, she could be married to a woman. She probably couldn't if she's at Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, I thought she was so progressive.
Really,
I thought she was such a progressive thinker.
That's her husband?
Yeah. He looks like Mike Pence.
Or Digger Phelps.
But he takes a lot of crap.
Nice bow tie. We always laughed at Tyler Summitt, Pat Summitt's kid.
Yeah, who...
Because they did that big expose on... You know, on him in general, before we knew about the scandal, about how he was always in the locker room at age 10 and learned so much from his mom.
Well, so what if he's Pat Summitt's kid? It's a whole nepotism thing. Oh, so he should coach a women's program. So why does the Notre Dame coach bitch about that? That
exactly.
Pat Summitt's son is coaching, you beast.
There's more problem with men than nepotism, apparently.
Right. Yeah.
So that big story came out, I think, on Real Sports, and we laughed because his record was terrible. Like, he had a terrible overall
division.
Record.
We got a big-ass job, like Tennessee or somewhere, didn't he?
Louisiana Tech. Which was a huge...
That's a big job.
That's a huge gig in women's sports.
But he's Pat Summitt's son.
But he went from Marquette to Louisiana Tech. And then, oh, what do you know? Two players followed him there. And it's crazy. One of them got knocked up. And the story was about he's the one that knocked him up. So that's why he lost his job there. But I guess all's well that ends well, because the girl he knocked up and had to leave his wife for, they got married, they had their kid, and now she is the head coach of a girls' team, and he's her assistant.
She hired a man?
He's the assistant.
Why did she bitch
Fairborn
about that?
High school.
Yeah, well, still, he's the assistant.
Okay.
But that's so...
She hired a man?
I know.
How disgusting.
How big is Fairborn High School that would be the job now?
1,500 students.
Hard to say.
That's pretty big.
It's a start.
But it's nice to know that that's the one he knocked up, because no one knew which of the two women it was.
Men run the world! Well, if men run the world, then why would they be fighting for an assistant job with a beast like you? Not all men run the world, you idiot. Jesus.
Men run the world!
I don't get it. Then why doesn't your school allow female priests?
Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it? She's in Notre Dame?
Yeah.
I'm surprised Notre Dame will keep her after that little diatribe.
How many women are in charge at Notre Dame? I mean, that's not really the most inclusive.
No, it's not the bastion of equality.
No. Should not see the irony in any of that?
Did you mention the female priests?
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Not there's no female priests.
That's interesting. Well, she should speak out about that, too.
Yeah, so she should step down from Notre Dame and
find
a...
Why don't she start her own division of the church, where it's supported by the male church, and she could run a little flush.
Supported by the male church. Oh, good. I hope she limits herself, and then, but you know, she's doing fine. So what does she care?
Yeah,
good for her.
And go
Baylor, which is a terrible institution as well.
I know. I'm so for Baylor. I'm so for Baylor.
Making us root for Baylor in a sport we don't give a shit about.
Original advertiser and studio sponsor Zot Ford and DealsandID.com, who, by the way, are completely not responsible for any of the comments you've heard so far. They want to thank all of you for supporting the podcast and their dealerships. They've done so well. Maz is back, too.
Hey, all right.
So, not that it's a sports podcast. In fact, we're supposed to go to the game tomorrow night. Tigers are 7-3. What's going on over there?
Hot start.
Yeah. And with the arrival of spring, also the full inventory of the newest Ford models, all their exciting options, colors, and technology, including the 2019 inventory with Mustang GTs, Raptors, and Rangers, all ready for immediate delivery. So swing by Zot Ford and Holly, peruse the inventory, get an autograph from Maz, then buy the car from Gary.
By the way, Gary. Gary.
Yes, Gary.
Have you seen Gary's picture on their website?
Gary. I haven't.
Brandon, pull up ZotFord.com.
Is Gary hot?
And go to staff. First off, there's no picture for Guevara.
It's Gary. So,
what?
So Guevara's hiding. Well, did you see the picture already?
I've seen Tommy before. I've been on here.
Yeah, so Tom's picture is, you know, him and the family. And, you know, Anthony's got him and his son. It's very nice. But scroll down until you see Gary. Keep going. Next row. Gary's picture's Fabio. Everybody's got a real picture of them in life. And Gary is Fabio, which instantly makes me go, what's up with this Gary guy? I got to know more about Gary all of a sudden. Strictly because he used Fabio for his picture.
Oh, boy.
Good for Gary.
Take a ride in their massage chairs. Play foosball. Grab an autograph from Maz. Thanks from your friends at dealsinthed.com. And they come from all over. They're there to ask Dr. Yaldo, Michigan's most experienced and honored eye surgeon, to set them free from the annoyance and poor performance of glasses, contacts, and reading glasses. They get their answers from Dr. Yaldo. Another 20 or so Michiganders got custom CATS LASIK, the most advanced in the world. They'll get better than 20/20 vision. Many of them will. 50 years or older, get the multifocal lens implants, the Rolls-Royce surgery. They can throw away all the reading glasses, the regular glasses, etc. And then this summer... And, whoa, it was nice to have a couple nice days. Took Mags and Layla for a walk.
Yeah.
Mags only stopped once. Really? Yeah, they're on two-a-days.
Wow.
Mags got 325 likes yesterday, probably more than that.
Oh, does he know that?
Yeah, he's pretty aware of stuff that's going on.
There goes his ego.
Mike Clark got a lot of likes last night because I mentioned how he would have been so into that game.
Yeah.
He would have been so mad, too. But I was talking about how... when you're watching a big Michigan State game... Mike would always text with, what's a touch foul?
Yeah.
Be like, oh, boy. And then I'd answer, what's 3 seconds? And that's it. You can't stand in the lane for 3 seconds or more, or it's a turnover. And he'd be like, that's complete bullshit. And I'd be like, yeah, I think you're right. Actually, that is bullshit. But, yeah, no such text from Mike. He would have not liked that game last night, but he would have had fun watching, as I did. But don't forget to do what many of our listeners have done. Call for the free evaluation from Dr. Yaldo. Get the Drew and Mike discount. See stuff like you did decades ago. 800-398-EYES. 1-800-398-EYES. Or go to Yaldo Eye Center. Do it. Get it done. Enjoy the best summer and best vision of your life. And Hall Financial, still hammering away over there, refining people, getting people mortgages, getting money out of people's houses. Maybe shortening their loans, whatever it is you need to do, just click the link on the Drew and Mike podcast webpage, fill out the online form, and they'll ring you back, and the numbers will start a-crunching. And they fight hard, too. We have some people who had maybe an incident with credit in the past or a screw-up, and they have managed to fight for people, whether they can get it or not. I know in a few cases, people have said, absolutely, they made my wife's dream come true because they were able to get us... The financing we needed in spite of a credit issue.
They don't want to give me credit for anything.
This is not a plea, by the way, to all the people with crap credit to call financial, just saying if you're on the borderline, they will fight for you. On top of the elite service that you may get, maybe you want to refer them to somebody else, too. And of course, we've got Scott Kunith on the real estate side, so we've got you completely covered. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. NMLS number 1467435. You won't be disappointed. And we may have to open the Hall Financial Hotline, too, because I wanted to call the lounge where R. Kelly did a gig last night.
which how small is that? I was trying to get pictures and figure out how small that lounge was. It was a lounge in Springfield, Illinois. He wasn't even playing. It was like a meet and greet.
I wonder if Timko knows it. Isn't he originally from Springfield?
He is from Springfield. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm going to text Jay about that.
What's the name
Dirty
of the
Dirty Lounge or something?
Oh, Dirty like South
a,
Lounge.
Sounds like a lovely place.
I know. And it was $100, I guess, to meet and greet R. Kelly. And it's like, hey, I need to pay for my child support. Why don't you just ask other people to do it? Everybody else does it. Why don't they just open a GoFundMe?
GoFundMe for
him? Why not? I swear to God, I bet he'd raise the money.
He probably
How
would.
Can I pay child support?
Idiot runs a daycare.
Say, why
and
why
she
just
pays
ask one of those
his
people?
Bond. So, They were lowering tickets to $50 because apparently they weren't even selling.
Well, $50 seems like too much.
I'm going to start a new account, and that's the way it is.
Boy.
Dirty South Lounge?
Yeah, Dirty South Lounge.
Like, is the place closed already? Why can I not find
it? It's not open on Sundays. But here was what he put out on Instagram just before.
Oh, this is great.
Yo, this is your boy, Kels, and
my boy.
I got an event to do tonight in Springfield, Illinois. So I want the media to take it easy on me, man. This is how I got to get paid now for right now. So I got to go do this event, and it's a party. So when you see me in the club with a couple of drinks in my hand and chilling, please take it easy. Appreciate it, y'all. Thanks.
Did you see what time he arrived for the event?
I didn't.
1:30 a.m.
Oh, that's nice.
Took pictures with fans and sang for approximately 45 seconds.
Well, I heard people.
45 seconds.
Is that why people were disappointed?
I think so.
So, did people wait till 1:30?
Hey, if you're that dumb to spend even $50 for a meet and greet of R. Kelly, but you're probably going to wait till 1:30.
I think you'd get there at 8:30 because what if he gets there? What time was he supposed to be there? Did they say?
Let me look.
What a dope! What a jackass! You can't even do this right. Steal money from people?
Yeah, it doesn't say. It doesn't say.
Steal money from stupid fans?
I look at the pictures from their Facebook page. It is not that big of a place.
So many people have been stealing my money.
Yeah, no, this is a really small place.
We might be able to hit them up during the week.
That's worth a try.
My God.
Well, let's see. Is there anything else on the... I guess we covered the basketball. Those commercials with Charles and Spike Lee, Sam Jackson, and Jim Nance are just wonderful.
Zip it, Larry Bird.
I like the ones without Jim Nance. I don't know why he
I don't
has
even
to be.
Like those.
Really?
I don't know why.
You don't like the Larry Bird one?
I don't think they're that. Well, Larry Bird one's okay. I do. Yeah, I kind of like that.
You don't like the Chuck Moji one?
That's a terrible idea.
I don't know.
Or the air horn one? I don't know. Chuck makes me laugh.
No,
Nance,
I do.
Nance
I like,
ruins it.
I like all three of those guys. And I think if they just filmed them for 2 hours, they'd probably get some great laughs. They could turn into a commercial. But, you know, you got some jerk at an agency writing some really bad jokes.
The only other thing would be that there's some hell nice riots in East Lansing and Texas Tech. Because Lubbock had bigger riots.
No, they weren't. There wasn't a riot in East Lansing. They burned the couch.
Okay, not a riot. I'm sorry, but
that's nostalgic.
The people on the streets was so much worse in Texas Tech that the East Lansing one was barely a blip.
Well, honestly, somebody burning a couch is just not really it wasn't a big deal. I looked at the video.
Just someone burning a couch, though. There were 23 arrests.
I don't know. Did you guys see a video I didn't see? Because I saw a video of basically a bunch of idiots around a couch. I mean, it was not. They didn't seem to be breaking anything. Were they throwing shit at cops or something?
But just the other ones were the people that got arrested. And there were some arrest videos, but you don't know what led to the
arrest. East Lansing?
Yeah, 23 were arrested in East Lansing.
Well, that's probably because they.
10 fires, by the way.
10 fires.
Yeah, I don't know if they were couch fires or what that means. They tore down a street sign and threw a glass bottle in the air. But the point being that Lubbock was far worse.
They tore down a street sign? Is that really?
That happened pretty much every day?
Yeah.
I mean, they look like they're just milling around.
They're turning cars over in Lubbock. No, I saw two videos in East Lansing. One was from Cedar Village. And it looked pretty orderly. I thought, boy, somebody needs to spice that up.
Well, it sounds like they did.
And the couch was burned on Gunson Street. That's not in Cedar Village, is it?
No. It's nearby, though, isn't it?
So Cedar Village, I think they deserve a gold star. They didn't burn anything,
did they?
That's
a low bar, then.
Well, just saying. They usually do burn something. Is that the couch?
This is Texas Tech.
Oh, okay.
According to the press release from East Lansing Police, the 10 fires consisted of small pieces of furniture and did not have significantly sized crowds gathered around them.
No. That's the one I saw. Was,
that's normal.
Was like 20 people or something.
Compared to this mess in Lubbock. Amateurs.
They're turning cars over.
Yeah.
They don't know about going a lot about going to the Final Four either.
Clearly.
In Lubbock.
Clearly.
I keep thinking, by the way, it's the same school that won it in 66. That was Western Texas,
yeah,
in 66.
What is Western Texas now? What are they? Are they still Western Texas?
I don't know. I think
so. Are they like A&M now? What are you laughing at?
People love fire.
You know, I was thinking fire's really underrated, too, because...
Fire rules.
You know, fire's awesome. Look how much fun people are having at that Lubbock bash there.
Oh, here's the car.
Unless it's your car.
Oh, there's the car!
What kind of car is that?
It looked nice.
Can you get their phone number so Tom can sell them a new one?
Fairly new car. Yeah, it's a good point. Is that be happy
oh,
to
it's a small
fix
car.
That guy up.
Come on, Lubbock, up
it
your
like
game.
Looked like a fairly new car, too.
Yeah, it did. Up your game, though, Lubbock. Do you know how big Lubbock is? I had no idea what a big city it is.
How many people is
50,000 in the area.
150,000?
250,000. Oh, 250,000. It's huge.
Well, for Texas.
In the middle
Texas
of nowhere,
a lot of big
though.
Cities. Yeah.
Bunch of amateurs. And we know how Charlottesville likes to party.
There's the tear gas.
Oh, Charlottesville is a big party city. Charlottesville has some raging parties.
Yeah, but I think they're known for another kind of riot now.
Well... No, that's not the school, though.
No, I'm saying it is.
Charlottesville, though, has, they used to have an annual party that was like the biggest party in college.
Oh, the Unite the Right one.
No,
just
not that party.
I'm just kidding.
No, I'm serious. They had I'm trying to think of the name of it. I think this was going for a long, long time. It was springtime. I think it was a Greek thing, but it was like a blowout. Huh. Just a total blowout. Do not kid yourself. Charlottesville, that campus can partay. It might be really preppy and very Greek and all those things, but I'm sure my brother will. Well, if my brother's any indication.
Oh, boy, is he losing his mind?
Yeah, he is. He turned off his phone yesterday. We were just having some friendly texts. He's like, I got to turn off my phone.
Why?
Oh, hey, whatever, geez. I don't know. I think he maybe takes it a little bit seriously.
Yeah, I'll say. Well, then, geez, I almost want to root for them, so he's okay.
Yeah, that'll be a good game.
I think it'll be a great game.
I have a feeling. I guess I should root for Virginia for my brother, but maybe I should root against him because he takes it too seriously.
Who
needs to learn a lesson.
Who has more white guys? They both have two white starters.
Texas Tech has two white starters?
Well, yeah, the other white guy's an Italian. So.
I really wasn't keeping track. I just thought it was cool that two white guys were real. It looked like Hoosiers. When I saw that guy Mooney shoot, I swear to God, I thought I was watching Hoosiers.
The other white guy, it's really funny. So he's engaged, but he's not allowed to have a registry because that's an NCAA violation. I guess the thinking is boosters would buy everything on his registry.
You know,
they might be doing him a favor. It's a little young.
I'm kind of this
you're,
whole.
Brandon, you're right. That's a whole nother argument, though.
The NCAA is just so ridiculous. It always was outdated. It always was crazy to me. Selling your image. Look at these little, by the way, amateurs performing in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, they figured out how to pay them, didn't they?
Of course. They can use their image.
So how does that work? How come the Olympics isn't ruined?
I don't know.
I mean, the idea that...
It's just a matter of time.
It's billions and billions of dollars, and now we can't pay these guys because we can't figure out how to do it. Okay, we can put a man on the moon. We can come up with a nuclear bomb. We can do
every
anything.
Every other company that has money coming in can figure out how to pay their labor.
Yeah, but no, we can't figure it out. It's too hard, so therefore we're going to screw them all.
That excuse worked for a while.
Yeah, it did. Well, the money wasn't nearly as big.
No.
The money is so much bigger now. The TV deals are so much, and they'll play anywhere, anytime, for any amount of money. Used to be, you know, toe meets football, toe meets leather at noon, and if you're there, great. If not, fuck you. You'd see two games a year, and the money was not insane. It's insane now. And also then along came the shoe deals where you know, Bobby Knight would say, "All right, y'all wear Nikes," and Bobby Knight gets $2 million paid, and you get nothing. Wait, who can justify that? Can somebody tell me why that makes any sense?
I don't know. I don't know how they've gotten away with it this long.
So many people have been stealing my money.
Maybe the worst negotiator I've ever seen.
So yesterday, and I apologize if it's starting to sound like a sports podcast. This isn't really sports, though. Well, it is, but it isn't. Michael Avenatti starts posting.
What an idiot.
I was very interested in his posts. I mean, I think I understand what's happened there is that he had a lot of data, and when he wasn't getting the reaction he wanted, he's like, let my law firm do an internal study and pay us a few million bucks. And then when they said, you know, fuck you, Avenatti, he said, okay, well, you can buy my silence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're going to have a really interesting view of the old non-disclosure agreement, in my opinion. If I'm in the ballpark. So he's texting away saying that Nike was paying Shayonda Sampson, Zion Williamson's mom, for consulting services while he was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think $170,000, something along those lines. Well, you know what? If Zion Williamson is a superstar and Nike wants to pay him or they want to pay his mom and maybe they don't have a lot of money. I don't know what Zion Williamson's background is. I assume if she took money from Nike that she probably needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really that terrible?
Maybe she's good at consulting.
You know, I hadn't considered that. How unfair.
Goddamn
how racist of me.
I mean, why would Duke
be? Is she
be
a consultant? Can you look up and see if Shayonda Sampson has a consulting business?
No. Okay, I'll legitimately look it up, but I'll be shocked.
I'd be
happy to eat my words.
You know, is it so horrible that Zion Williamson is of such greatness and such interest that Nike wants to empower him?
Hey, how many schools, Michigan included, have hired coaches and fathers of recruits?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Michigan's done it a ton.
Virginia Tech
and basketball.
So
this doesn't seem as bad as that.
Nike is not exactly denying this. They keep attacking Avenatti and saying they won't comment. But they're not saying, we didn't pay Zion Williamson's mom. And there's a lot of sham invoices, according to Avenatti.
Wait a second.
Is there a consultancy?
Damn it. His mom was a coach and played for some AAU teams. So
okay,
she's a coach.
So she could consult.
She could go work for Muffet.
She could consult.
McGraw.
Maybe she's a very good consultant.
He was coached by his mother in middle school, too.
Hopefully she'll share the work that was worth $170,000 to AAU teams.
Why would Duke be in trouble? A lot of schools have Nike.
Well, Bill Self has a text that came up in the Adidas case where he talks about how that's how it works at Duke and UNC.
Well, that's the question.
These Adidas schools get Adidas guys. Nike schools get Nike guys. But the senator of Connecticut, Senator Murphy, I think it was, he was speaking out on this on Friday that, hey, this money is insane. How can you deny this is he tried to paint it with a racist brush. And I think that's a mistake because I think some people go, oh, racism, oh, you know, because you hear that word so often. It's wrong not to pay the players. Doesn't matter what color they are.
Yeah.
And there are a couple white guys that matter, too. Moody and Guy. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple.
Apparently, there wouldn't be a championship without them.
They're getting screwed, too.
This year or last year.
There's Hispanic players. There's players of all.
You know who I was most recently talking to about this was Daniel Ferguson III.
Oh, Kwame's cousin. Or no, brother-in-law. Or both?
Ex-brother-in-law.
Oh, ex-brother-in-law. Okay,
so
whatever.
We have since found out. But because he played in college, and so I was kind of talking to him about it. And I said, why is this not a bigger civil rights issue? And I can't remember. I think it's Tobias that was with him, just laughed. He said, because they pay off people like the NAACP and politicians, which I thought was, I don't know if it's true or not, but I thought that was interesting. It's like, well, yeah, of course, the NCAA has a lot of money to buy influence over big groups.
Why are there so few people really publicly talking about it? I mean, maybe he's onto something there. Because, you know, to me, I keep looking at it. especially the last few years, it just seems like the money's just getting so much bigger. Well, really, the last 20 years, it's just gotten so big. And I just think, how can you not get something? I mean, because so few of these guys will have pro careers. A lot of them, even the first or the second round picks in the NBA, they might get one deal for a few hundred thousand bucks, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't they put something away for them? I mean, if you took the percentage of the money that labor gets in the professional leagues and you gave it to the college players to distribute, they would be paid like NFL players.
And if you subtract out like a scholarship?
Yeah. Fuck the scholarship. They can pay their own way. They can more than pay their own way.
Follow the money.
So, yeah, I thought that Senator Murphy, if he wants to attack this, and I agree with him, that he should attack it from the standpoint that the players are getting screwed. Not that it's a race thing, although most of the administrators are white and most of the players, as I pointed out, are black, except for a couple pretty good white guys.
I can make that much money in 5 seconds.
Are you allowed to have pride in when a white guy does something in a basketball game?
Yeah, why not?
I don't seem like it can't. Seems like you can't.
You can have pride in any player you like.
But white pride? Because if you say white pride, then you're a KKK man.
Are you only proud because they're white?
No, I just thought it was cool. Because you don't really very often see a white guy be the difference maker in two Final Four games.
I'll give you another example, because I know you're like me. We get pride when left-handers do things.
Yeah, I do. Simply because we're left-handed. No, I do. But I think most people are afraid to say, hey, what a cool those two white guys last night. Holy shit. No, you won't hear that conversation. And I don't know. It's interesting, because, you know, sometimes I think people look at black people as, hey, they're all brothers. No, white people are not all brothers, and black people are not all brothers. There are white people that fuck over white people, yes. And there are black people that do really mean things to black people,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. We're not Lonzo Ball.
There's not a brotherhood in the white community.
Fat men's, white men's, old men, young men. Just long they got money and crack cocaine, I can have mine every day.
So, yeah, she said it all right there.
Is there a lot of pride when the battle between Adam Morrison and J.J. Redick was going on for Player of the Year?
No,
I think there's like, a lot more successful white college basketball players than you're giving them credit for.
Come on. Really?
Yeah.
How many?
The last couple of years. I just think it's more than you think.
Well, let's look at the Final Four teams. Who are the key players on the Final Four team? The Michigan State team.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. It's mainly black guys.
Texas Tech has Manning.
But you're acting like there's zero white guys.
Well, there's not many. Look at football. Isn't football 77% black?
Is it?
Yeah, I think the NFL
is. Sounds about right. Baseball, they're disappearing in baseball. Now the Hispanics are taking over.
College basketball.
I find that fascinating, though.
Percentage. Yeah, it is interesting. Where did all the black baseball players go?
Why don't those people, quote-unquote, play baseball anymore?
They do. There's some really good African-American baseball players.
Of course there are, but it's down to like 6 or 7% of the league.
I read a book about...
It used to be 15.
I read a book about, and I want credit for this to show how evolved I am. I read a book about the great black starting pitchers in baseball.
Yeah. Bob Gibson, who else?
Ferguson Jenkins.
Okay.
Mudcat Grant was in there. Let's see. They have... Doc Ellis.
Oh, Doc Gooden. Doc Gooden. Hell yeah.
Yeah, Doc Gooden. I think he was in the book.
Well, right now, Luis Severino.
Did talk about how few black starting pitchers there are over time. There's just very.
But why?
Very.
I don't know. There's a lot. There's good ones.
Well, he's a reliever. CC Sabathia.
Tyler Ross. Or Tyson Ross, sorry.
I mean, you really have to think about it.
That's really odd.
Why is there not? Because you think I could just get a quick percentage, couldn't you?
For what?
The percentage of NCAA players that are basketball players are black. Wait, here we go. Ugh, if my Wi-Fi worked. 60% of NCAA division basketball. The NCAA statistics show a strong correlation between percentage of black athletes within the sport, revenue generated by that sport.
this Wikipedia page says, and this is going back to the 2006 season, that it's 46.9% of football.
Yeah, but what about percentage of running backs, wide receivers? Oh, sure. I mean, I'm talking about the athletic guys. I mean, we could have this argument.
And linemen are athletic too, man.
Well,
58.9% of basketball. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's 2006. Why are we looking at 2006?
Oh, I see y'all Sports Center tonight.
So that's what Google told me.
What percentage of NBA players are white? The first 74% black players, 23.3% white players, 1.8% Latino players. So, you know, 74 to 23, that's pretty significant. So that means the best college players are probably black.
I always loved the people of sports, but I've loved sports all of my life.
Somehow I...
Where are all the Asian athletes?
Don't think I'm breaking any incredible ground here with these numbers. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but...
How many Asian starting pitchers can you name besides Atlee Hammaker?
Atlee Hammaker is Asian?
Wasn't he? Oh boy, I thought he was.
Was he? I played against Atlee Hammaker.
I thought he was, wasn't he? Oh boy, please be Asian.
I thought he was.
Please be Asian. Maybe he's Hawaiian.
Darker skin.
Swing and a miss. Slam dunk. Touchdown. Sports.
That's a great name, isn't it?
Atlee?
Atlee Hammaker?
Yeah, I was going to name my. If I had a son, I was going to name
him. By the way, Cassius Winston is such a major league name.
Yeah. Because you can go by Cash.
Yeah. And of course, Cassius Clay.
Atlee Hammaker looks totally. Well, looks, sorry.
Oh, what?
He's half Japanese, half German.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I feel relieved.
All right.
I mean, besides, there's a lot of Asian pitchers that come from Japan and China. Not China, but Japan and Korea. Mainly Japan.
Not that many.
Rabu.
Well,
Rabo.
Shohei Ohtani last year. This year, it's Yusei Kikuchi.
Rabo. Irabu.
And Ichiro Suzuki. He just retired. He's one of the best. If he would have played ball starting at 18 instead of 27, he'd have every hitting record.
I know. He's the most underrated player of our time.
All right. Well, it's not a sports podcast. Why don't we open the Hall Financial Hotline? I'm really excited. Barney Smith, was he 94 or 96? Do you guys remember? With the toilet seat collection?
I think 96.
He had the toilet seat collection. He was in Austin, Texas. Wasn't he in that area?
The king of the commode.
What?
And he had the great...
How about that?
How about that? I know, and the Cash Me Outside girl, when you guys were playing those two drops, I was just dying laughing.
How about that? How about that?
Where's my girl?
How about that?
He had, like, I don't know, what, 1,200 toilet seats?
Yeah.
Different toilet seats. And what, did people sign them or what?
They just sent them in all walks of life.
And he created art around them. And they were in his garage... And he had open days. It was like a museum. But I thought there was a museum. It was actually his garage and his yard. And, you know, he'd fallen down in the yard raking the leaves. And it really sounded awful. And he wanted to sell the collection. And I thought, who in the world is going to, would someone really buy that collection? And we talked to his daughter. And then he got sadder. But now someone's taken his collection.
Sweet.
Hall Financial Hotline is open. I'm gonna find out who is. Click the link to Hall Financial. Fill out the online form. I'll get back to you. Barney Smith. Come on, Barney.
Hello.
Hi,
this is Barney Smith Toilet Seat Art Museum, which is now closed.
What?
He's not accepting any visitors. But we appreciate all who have come. But
do we have another number we can try?
It's now closed, and you'll probably put a message on when it's moved to the colony. And
maybe you can visit it there.
Thank you very much.
Well, she was dreamweavering me.
Let's call her.
Boso has bought the. Let's see, with a bottle of wine in front of him, Texas Truck Yard owner Jason Boso was scanning the internet for creative and unique artistic items when he stumbled upon the museum that boasts more than 1,400 decorated toilet seat lids. Barney Smith, 97-year-old curator, had been trying to sell his prize collection. So when Boso called, the two struck up a deal.
It's still going to be called the Barney Smith Toilet Seat Art Museum.
Is that right?
Yeah.
His daughter's name is Julie.
Is this Julie's number?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's a really funky version.
It's pretty cool. I like this song. Hi, is this Julie?
This is Julia.
Julia?
Yes.
Is this Barney Smith's daughter?
Yes, it is.
The Princess of the Commode?
How about that?
Princess of the Commode.
Thank you.
Not quite.
How are you, Julia?
I'm fine.
You know, for a second there, I thought you were a woman whose voice I heard on the show Cops recently, but that's you, Julie, isn't it?
You
asked
me.
You weren't on Cops recently.
You've never been on Cops, have you?
Yet.
No, I haven't. Okay,
I didn't think so. Anyway, this has got to be a great day for you. A great week for Barney, your dad.
We're so happy.
Why is it a great week?
Is your phone, is there a, somebody put a turd in the mouthpiece or something? It's really muffled.
Huh?
I don't know. I'm near San Antonio right now. I've been to Houston. We're coming back from Houston.
I see. Okay, now you sound a little cleaner there. Anyway, so this, you know, he'd been trying to sell this collection for how long?
Oh, probably a year longer.
So was he starting to think that maybe no one would take the collection? Because it sounded a little iffy there for a while, but now things have had a happy ending. But it was a little iffy there.
He wanted to keep it in Texas, and so he got a good offer from North Dallas in the colony, and so they built a house. They built a museum for it.
Mm-hmm. How about
and,
that?
They built a museum for it. They're building a museum for it.
They built a building, a museum for Daddy's museum. Just for him.
Really?
Did he have much input as to how, what it looked like?
Yeah, is he working on the blueprints?
I think it's called the truck yard or something like that. It's in the colony, north of Dallas.
I heard there's going to be a beer garden and a tiki bar and a karaoke room.
Yeah, and they're going to have the grand opening on May the 15th, I believe.
Ooh. Are you going to be there?
Yes, we're taking Buddy up there.
Well, how exciting is that? So this is literally a brand new building. We're not talking about some converted trailer or something. It's a brand new building?
No, it's a brand new building.
Wow. Did Barney ask for an office in it just so he has a place to go to oversee it?
Consulting fees?
No consulting fees?
No consulting fees for sure.
Oh, goodness.
So, I mean, look at the Bill Clinton Library. He's got that sweet pad. Where he didn't do anything for the Bill Clinton Library. He's just Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
So it's the Barney Smith Museum.
Barney Smith is Barney Smith.
Yeah. What do you think?
How about that?
Julia?
Well, Daddy wants in a hospice facility last week.
Oh, no.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He had taken a fall, and he couldn't get out of bed, so his legs stopped working. So put him in a hospice facility and gave him 5 days.
Wow.
Oh, I had no, that was not in the news story.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that. Is there any way, could he talk for just a minute on the phone? We just wanted to congratulate him. We had him on our show a couple times and the audience just loved him.
Well, I don't know because I'm not with him right now. I'm going to spend Monday and Tuesday with him. Couldn't you go help that man get up?
What happened? What happened? Did somebody fall down?
Yeah, we stopped at a store and this man fell down. This guy's helping him up.
Should we call some 911 or anything?
No.
It's okay.
But if you called Daddy's phone number.
What was he? Was it? I'm just curious.
At least it's with him right now.
What's going on?
I see. Okay. Well, we have the original number.
I can't believe you predicted that.
Wow, that's weird. We originally had Barney's number, which has the message. That's the one with the museum number.
Yes. Yeah.
Is there a number, special number we could call when you're there, maybe? Or should we just call this phone? Is this your cell phone?
Well, this is my cell phone, but if you call Daddy's number.
Yeah.
Somebody's with him for 24 hours.
Wow.
So Daddy's away.
He didn't answer, though.
You know, they'll let you call.
Okay. Because we did call the other number and we got a message.
Yeah, very nice outgoing message.
Brandon, am I missing something?
No, you got it right.
Okay, cool. Well, wow, this is exciting, and I'm happy for you and your dad, because you had a lot invested in this too, I assume.
Well, you know, we all did. It was all of our museums, and we're planning on going up to Dallas on May the 15th. The whole family and more.
Was Daddy still raking the leaves? Because last time we talked to him, we were trying to get him to stop raking his own leaves because we thought he should, you know, shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, some brat should be doing that.
He wasn't until 3 weeks ago when he fell.
That's what I was wondering. He didn't fall raking the leaves, did he?
No, oh. No. He fell right there on the patio trying to get in the house door.
Wow, that's too bad. So you said the whole family is going. How many people are we talking about with the whole family?
Well, there's me and my three. My sister has, goodness sakes, three kids and their kids.
How about that?
I was going to say, now you must have some grandchildren. Surely you have grandkids, don't you?
Oh, I have grandkids, but my grandkids are scattered all over the place.
How old are they?
They don't live here. Well, my...
Seems like they ought to be there.
How old are they?
My granddaughter that had her was in Houston, and I've got another great-granddaughter in Florida.
How did I know there was a great-granddaughter? How old's your great-granddaughter? What's she, about 20?
My granddaughter is 28.
Ooh. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Is she available?
No. Oh. She just had my great-great-granddaughter.
What?
One of them's 18 months and one of them's 24 months.
Wait, you have a great-great-granddaughter?
I have a great-granddaughter.
Yes.
Okay, so your great-granddaughter is great. I think that's what you meant.
Right, and my daddy has two great-great-granddaughters.
That are great.
Wow.
That are great.
From me.
Well, that is incredible. What a, God, I was trying to do all the math there. That was intense. Okay, so none of these, just you, your three girls, your sister, her three kids, you're all going. So there's about 80 of you? 80 is?
Well, there's more than eight going.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. There's more than eight of us going. And my son, he just got married, and we were in Baytown with his wife's family, and they're going to try to go up there, too.
Wait, his wife's family is going to this?
Yes.
Oh, my God. So this is a big crowd. I mean, do you have a block of hotel rooms or something?
No, not yet.
No?
My son is coming from Arkansas.
Spanish cousin.
Him and his wife and daughter is coming from Arkansas there.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to make a big deal of it. You know, we think it's daddy's last hurrah, but we never can tell.
And how far a drive is that for you?
Oh, goodness. About 4 hours.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, God, I hope you have a great time.
Are you going to take a limo? You should take a limo. Put everybody in a nice big limo.
No. What? I've got a big Yukon, and that'll hold six.
Oh, boy. Well, that's it. Have a great drive, and we will call maybe in the next couple of days and see if we can get Barney just to congratulate him, if nothing else.
Oh, yes. He'd like that. He loves hearing from people.
I know he does. How about that?
Yeah.
Thank you, Julia. Congratulations.
How about that?
Enjoy the trip.
Thank you so very much for calling.
All right.
You.
Bye.
Just shut up. I don't know how you are in troublemaker. Just get out of here.
I'm going to warm up the toilet seat for you. I'm going to warm up the toilet seat for you. And even though I know you've got to go too, trust me, I've got to poo more than you do. In fact, it's already popping out of my butt just a bit, just a tip. But if I wait any longer, the whole thing's gonna slip out of my butt and into my shorts. I'd win this case if we were in the courts. My situation's dire. Yes, it's the worst. Please, 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 just let me go first. I'm gonna warm up the toilet seat for you.
How about that? How about that?
As a reward for your patience, that toilet seat will be so toasty and warm thanks to my body heat. Yes, that's right, because of your waiting, your butt cheeks won't need to do any acclimating at all.
How about that?
Warm up the toilet seat for you.
How about that?
Warm up the toilet toilet seat for you. I'm gonna warm up the toilet seat for you.
Everybody!
I'm gonna warm up the toilet seat for you.
For you. And you, and you, and you, and you. Warm it up. And you, and you, and you, and you.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Yeah!
Oh man,
what a great story. Now, wait a second.
Wait, so Barney's almost dead?
It sounds like he's in hospice. So
awful.
I predict he talks to us.
Yeah, I hope so.
I think he's going to summon up. Oh boy, I hope we don't take 2 days off his life by talking to him. Because I think he's going to really want to talk.
Maybe she'll talk to him in the anticipation we'll add 2 days to his life.
It's possible. He might stay alive to talk to us. You never know.
Oh, wow. Well, at least he got the deal closed, and now we won't have to pay. Didn't claim Homeland Security sent him this giant bill for protecting?
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Oh my God!
Come out.
And I was reading a story about the sale, and I never heard about this one about the toilet seat from the airplane with Aristotle Anassis's body. Do you remember that one?
No, I forgot about that.
One of his favorites was a toilet from the airplane that carried the body of Aristotle Onassis' second husband, of Jackie Kennedy.
Wait, carried it like he flew on it, or his body that was dead flew on it?
I think he flew on it, but I don't know why.
So he may have sat on it.
So his quote is, Jackie Kennedy might have sat on this store.
Oh, that too, yeah.
I have the lid, but she might have sat on the lid when it was closed trying to put her makeup on in the bathroom or something, which all I can think of is, were there any pubes on it?
Probably.
I want to ask Barney that question.
Oh, boy.
Everybody loves those toilet seats, though, man.
He's a good dude.
Oh, he's great.
I know, it's just one of those collections that's like, why would anyone start such a collection? But he did, and it's huge, and somebody wanted it. And I felt so bad. He so desperately wanted someone to have it, and it seemed like if someone from Florida wanted it, he was going to be like, nope, I don't think so. Yep. It's got to be in Texas.
Didn't he have somebody that you had to go through in Dallas that was handling the purchase?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about
that. Some name.
Oh, my God. It got very complicated because we talked to Julia before, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
And Julia, by the way, I want to say, she's like in her 50s, isn't she?
No.
60s?
Is she?
I don't think she's that old.
She has a 28.
I know, but
a 28-year-old
granddaughter. So she could have a 16-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have been 16.
So at what? So add 32 to 28. So she's at least.
I mean, she got a great grand. How many?
Let's call her back and ask her.
I know. Well, we'll find out. How many people that age have great grandkids?
Very few.
People are into the grandkids in their late 50s, early 60s.
And do you think the 28-year-old granddaughter, do you think that's an attractive granddaughter? I think so.
I think she could be hot.
Yeah, I think so, too.
We need to do some research on that just for no reason. Just to find out.
Great prediction, by the way.
Just to satisfy a very small amount of curiosity.
How did you know that somebody fell wherever Julia was?
I know, it's ridiculous.
I felt like, did I space out and miss her saying, oh, that guy fell over there?
I know, that was so weird.
Because she said, help that guy, not help that guy up. What a mess.
Well.
What a mess.
I saw an exciting list on Rolling Stone website about
lists.
The top 102 Nirvana songs.
Oh, really?
Of all time. Yeah, ranked.
Oh, rock.
And, you know, the cool thing about Nirvana is...
Is it going to be a too cool for school list, or is it going to be...
It's a little bit cool. I mean, this is what I like about
lists. Is Teen Spirit in the top five, at least?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
You never know.
I know. No, I agree with you. And honestly, I'm not sure it's my favorite Nirvana song, personally. I've always loved Lithium. I love Lithium. I love that song. I hadn't heard it in a long time, and I heard it maybe about a month ago. And I was like, oh, I love this song. And it took me back to the album, and it took me to In Utero, although Trudy called it Heart-Shaped Box. I'm still not taking claim to that. Heart-Shaped Box is such a great song. Penny Royalty. There's a lot of Nirvana songs I really like. And you know a band is big when somebody does a list like this, and you go, no! That can't be 15. That should be 7. That can't be 28. That should be at least... I mean, they have a lot of songs that I really like, and I think a lot of people feel the same way. No, when they're in song, you know, 58, it's a little bit out of my interest level. I'm not that big in Nirvana, but I do like Nirvana a lot. I mean, they're definitely one of my favorite bands. And as far as heavier music, because they can be real heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like it when they have a song like Lithium that's got a nice slow melody, and then it gets heavy. Penny Royalty does the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, Sponge does that, too, with a lot of their songs. They've got a nice... I'm thinking of, what's that song? I'll find it.
I want to see this list, though. He sends in Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
Dying to know where, in the Pines, Where Did You Sleep Last Night from the Unplugged, which is the best song on that Unplugged, but it's also way at the bottom of the set.
They included...
It's a cover song.
They included anything that was recorded, B-sides,
okay.
Bootlegs.
So stuff from Sub Pop, stuff from Bleach?
Yeah, there's stuff from that.
Negative Creep better be way up there.
I didn't see... Yeah, it is up there. I didn't realize Nirvana had 102 songs, for starters.
Well, how many Sub Pop? Two or three on Sub Pop?
I thought there were two.
Three major releases?
I thought there were four major albums. I mean, in the end, plus Unplugged.
Yeah.
Well, so
that's about right. 20, no. We're missing
102
songs.
Oh,
this song is so fucking good.
I mean, there are a lot of bands that are significant that are around a long time and they barely have 100 songs.
Yeah.
You know, 8 albums could be 10 songs, 100 songs. 8 albums with 13 songs on them. I think it just goes to show that most great musical acts, they have a flash of absolute brilliance that lasts 4 or 5 years,
mm-hmm.
maybe 7 or 8 in some bands' cases, some a little longer. But Nirvana, they really weren't. I mean, Kurt's dead in 94. It's a 25-year anniversary last, was it Friday maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, same as Layne Staley.
I know. I couldn't get over that. Layne Staley died the same day at 86 pounds.
Yeah, I know. With no hands, right? Didn't the cat eat him? Or is that an urban legend?
I don't know if that's true.
I just saw the top 2 songs on this list, and well done. Well done. Number 3.
Okay, I'm
really
not
well done.
I'm not nuts about number 2. It's
what?
A good song. I like the song. No, I just don't think it's number 2 for me. Sorry.
What about number 3? Number 3 was a surprise.
And
it's a fucking great song, so I'm not going to complain.
I don't know what song you're talking about.
All right. You want me to play it?
I don't have the list in front of me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I play number 3?
We should count them down, shouldn't we?
Okay.
I mean, to be
pause number 3. Pause number 3. Where do you want to count it down from? 10, 15?
I'd say 25.
25? Great. Yeah, fine with
sure.
me.
I mean, that's what I thought was cool about Tom Petty when they did Tom Petty's Top 50 Songs. Like, I know most of these songs.
What's you just say it out loud?
You want to stagger?
We can do that. I don't know how many we're going to play though.
Well, we can play a little piece of every one of them. Why not?
Oh, it's 25 Nirvana. Is a great one too. Francis Farmer. This is from In Utero. Is it like Trudy likes to call it Heart Shaped Box?
Well, she's too busy with Squire. Squire.
Yes, I'm relieving. Now that you're leaving, soon as you can pay.
Before Cobain had lyrics to it, as an instrumental, the trio jammed in on Grohl's basement before In Utero.
Great song.
It's a really good song. So it's 25.
Yeah!
24, Scentless Apprentice. Another one from, as Trudy likes to call it, Heart-Shaped Box.
You know, I feel like we should have started higher because Polly is 29.
It's a great song.
How can Polly be 29?
I'm kind of surprised.
Oh, fuck. There's something else up here. Like, Rape Me is 31. That's a good song. God, they do have a lot of good songs. Jesus Doesn't Want Me for a Sunbeam is 33.
That's about right. Not a bad song.
Okay.
22 is Blue. That's off Bleach. That's okay. But yeah, I'd rather... You said Polly was below that?
Polly's 29.
It's funny.
Lake of Fire is 26. Can you play Lake of Fire? I don't mean to fuck up the order here, but Lake of Fire is a great song. Yeah. It's a Meat Puppet cover, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. This gets a lot of play, too.
Yeah.
I love Unplugged. This is one band that Unplugged just did worlds for, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like they're ranking the Unplugs lower, though.
I got questions about number 21.
Well, I love that song. Off the box set, Post-Death. Do you think 21's ranked higher because it was a...
Did you guys do 23 and 22?
Yeah.
You did, okay.
But 21 is You Know You're Right off the box set. Which
yeah,
is a similar
I like
release.
It.
I do too.
I like it a lot.
But Brian, I'm wondering, do you think it gets... Is it too high because it is a...
Late release.
Yeah.
It was exciting to hear a new Nirvana song.
Yeah.
I remember getting tired of it, and now I like it again.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Oh, 20 is phenomenal too. Pretty much I just love this band.
Oh, this is You Know You're Right. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if I liked You Know You're Right that much.
Really?
Well, it did.
Well, you're wrong.
You know, it definitely got that posthumous love.
Bump, yeah.
Because it was.
How about that?
It was really cool to hear another Nirvana song. I will never bother you. It's got that slow intro, like how I like, and then it gets heavy, which that's the formula I love for this band. I will never bother you. So a lot of heavier bands for me, and you know, I'm not a metal fan per se. They just stay too loud too long, and I just feel like it's a lot of noise. I mean, I must have a small brain. I can't sort of absorb it all. But I like the way they...
Well, Kirk, there's a lot of tension because of how cantankerous he could be, how much he didn't want to be popular, but he was a great lyricist. And the band was fucking
good. You know what, though? He did want to be popular.
Of course he did.
And he was...
He didn't want to be popular.
No, exactly. No, and he was conflicted about that, which is ridiculous.
But that overshadows the band a lot of times. Dumb is number 20.
Dumb's a great song.
Territorial Pissings from Nevermind is 19. It's okay, but I think there's ones you mentioned before.
I kind of felt the same way. Love Buzz.
Love Buzz is only 18?
Yeah.
Meh.
It's a shocking blues song. No,
I didn't know that.
If you're going to do a shocking blues song, I wonder why you wouldn't do Venus.
Maybe it's too obvious.
That got me interested in the Shocking Blue.
17 is Come As You Are.
Which I kind of thought that would be higher.
Yeah.
But you know you love a band when you go, everything should be higher.
Yeah.
There should be 20 songs in the top five. What the fuck? School is number 16.
From Bleach.
Boy, Bleach gets pretty good treatment here, don't they?
It's a good album, yeah. I think it doesn't seem like it's the best produced album. It's a little raw, but... What do I know?
I don't like it as much. Maybe just because I heard the other stuff first.
Negative Creep is 15. Oh, once again, off Bleach. Great song.
Serve the Servants at 14. I guess I don't... Some of these I think I would be putting other stuff higher, like Come As You Are and Polly, which are better known songs, but...
Yeah.
You know, I do like their hits. I have to admit, the songs that got a lot of airplay, I really liked them. I think they were well chosen. And, you know, what I didn't realize was Pennyroyal Tea, which we haven't gotten to, that was supposed to be the next single off In Utero, and they didn't put it out as a single.
I wonder why.
I don't know. It seems crazy to me. They always put out a posthumous. I don't know. But anyway, so I wasn't crazy about Serve the Servants as 14. It's a decent song. I find there's certain Nirvana songs to me that, a lot of songs that are all sort of in the same category, and then there's the ones that I really like.
Yeah.
That are... And All Apologies at 13. That's another one. This would be maybe my number 2 Nirvana song.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe even number one.
The unplugged version or the album version?
I love them both. I guess I just like their more melodic stuff. I love About a Girl.
Yeah, that's fair.
About a Girl is one of my favorite Nirvana songs. I'd put that really high.
Yeah, I'm surprised this is in top five.
Isn't this one of the best known Nirvana songs?
Oh, easily. Mm-hmm. Probably gets the most airplay next to
play
Teen
a little
Spirit.
More.
They have the wrong version up here, though. They have the Live and Loud MTV 93 version.
By the way, About a Girl sounds like a John Lennon song to me.
Really?
I don't really know what the influence was.
Crowd.
Is this from the MTV Awards?
No, Live and Loud, MTV 93. I don't know why Rolling Stone decided to link this one to it.
Yeah, I don't know why either. They did that a lot. They went to a lot of live versions. And they are great live.
How about that? Number 12 is the title track.
From the album Heart-Shaped Box. Now, I'm pissed about that, too. I love Heart-Shaped Box. Yeah. I want it higher.
Yeah, but now we know it's about Courtney Love's Vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about that?
You're right, that does take a lot away from it, doesn't it, Brandon?
I was also reading about, because I went on this Nirvana dive,
yeah.
I was going back and reading, and there's a story about this girl that was dating Kurt before Courtney.
Yeah.
She was a kind of a busker. She played guitar in the streets of Boston, and she traveled with the band and stuff, and Kurt at one point has met Courtney, and he wants to get rid of this girl, and he says, our next show's in Washington. They were in London. He says, how are you going to get there?
Oh.
She's with the band. Oh. She's like, she was too embarrassed to say, oh, I thought I was going with you. So she said, I'm going to stay here with some friends.
Oh, that sucks.
I know. It was really shitty.
Fine. And then, I don't ever want to see you again. go away. I'm dating somebody else. I hate you.
Well, then
he should have taken the Player Dave route and just been honest.
Well, that was kind of a good move by him to pose that question.
I know, it sounded so weaselly. For someone who's so righteous as Kurt Cobain, it sounded incredibly rock star lame. And then she sees something on MTV where Kurt says, a shout out to Courtney, I just want to say Courtney Love is the best fuck in the world.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so.
How about that?
That was kind of unsettling. Number 11, Penny Royalty, and I'm going to save the top 10 for the others. I'm sorry. We do have sponsors that make it possible to add our commentary to this exciting list. but Penny Royalty, actually, 11's not a bad spot for that.
No, it's especially seeing the next ones coming up.
March has finally arrived. March has already passed. So,
oh, is that, oh, you know what? I forgot. See, this is what happens. This is the problem when he sends them on Friday. I space out. Hang on.
Oh, my.
Oh, boy.
And there's a lot of questions. Is my bookie still on? I did the commercial today.
Well, they're going to get invoiced.
And by the way, No Filter Sports tomorrow. We'll have complete analysis of the Final Four and probably, I would imagine, they'll talk about some bad calls over the years, things like that. It's those guys have so much history with sports reporting.
All I say is thank God we have one piece of paper left in the printer.
There are some crazy things that happened in the Final Four. I mean, yeah. the Fred Brown pass to James Worthy of North Carolina.
Did it on purpose?
The Chris Webber timeout.
Blame it on Michael Talley?
I know. I just don't like Chris Webber. I never will. I disgust
me. Not until
me.
He takes responsibility for anything. Great color commentary, though.
I can't even enjoy his color commentary.
Really?
I hate that Michigan fans cheered him at the football game because I don't believe that was real. I think that was the David Miscavige told them to, so they did it.
David,
you mean Harbaugh?
Harbaugh, I'm sorry.
Jim Miscavige? Yeah. Harb's Miscavige?
I'm Jim Harbaugh!
It's what we've all been waiting for, and it's finally here. Zod Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Spring Sales Event. Boy, we just got the copy. It's fresh off the press, everybody. Wonder what all the excitement's about. During Zot Zot's spring sales event. You can lease a new 19 Ram Bighorn 4x4 as low as $166 a month. Boy, it's a good thing I wasn't reading that old copy. How about leasing a new loaded 19 Jeep Compass as low as $198 a month? You wouldn't know about that either. Or if you want to move the whole family around in total luxury, lease a 19 Chrysler Pacifica as low as $292 a month. Plus, last month's employee pricing for everyone was such a smashing success that our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram decided to do it again. While supplies last, get employee pricing on all new 18 Jeep Wranglers in stock. Nobody else is doing that for you, so see details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke Nowacki, Luke and I had a conversation and Friday because working on my taxes.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Is everyone done with their taxes, by the way?
Not quite. It was not a good year. It's one of those things where, and I was telling Brandon about it, I just went, yep, that's all my fault. Oops.
What's wrong?
I didn't pay enough tax for the year.
Oh, your quarterly?
That's what was wrong. Well, yeah, and some other things, but whatever. But you know how I look? This is how I turned the negative into a positive. I said, yeah, but I earned money on that money. Well, I didn't pay the taxes, so.
That's true. So anyway, yeah, I'm finding some money to put in a retirement account so I can pay less taxes.
Yeah, like an SEP IRA.
Why am I moving? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why am I moving this significant sum of money to save this amount of money? It's less.
You don't want to give it to the government. You'd rather have it later.
I know, but
but you're paying more.
But it just ends up, you know, a bunch of phone calls.
It's a lot of work.
And signatures and
I don't know. I can make that much money in 5 seconds.
You probably could.
it's a smart thing to do. It just sucks that you're doing it at the buzzer. Well,
I didn't want to pay a few thousand more bucks in taxes if I can help it.
Yeah.
But imagine what it's like for these people who have 25 accountants working on their taxes, all the shit they do.
Yeah.
Anyway, some of you may have noticed we've had Luke Nowacki on for, he's been one of our original advertisers on the podcast.
Thank you, Luke.
And he's always been hoping to help you to plan for your future financial obligations, and that can be a lot of different things. And in fact, you know, Trudy took her healthcare dilemma to Luke, and he helped her with that. Some people have asked for help with things just budgeting. How do I find money to put in a retirement account or to plan ahead or for a 529 for my kids?
Does he do life insurance too?
I think Luke could help you with life insurance. I don't have any doubt that he could. So, you know, a lot of times that is a problem. Is
we have so much money, we don't know what to do with it.
Where is all our money going? We have two people making a reasonable salary. We don't have a fucking thing. What's going on, Luke? And Luke sits down with people and says, well, here's what I would suggest. And, you know, it's kind of on you. But some people, it is hard to do this. So it does help to have someone outside taking a look at what you're doing. And it may be, too, that you've got an old 401k and it's not invested aggressively enough for the age that you are. So anyway, the last thing you want in retirement is to have the juice remind you that he's letting you drive his car or that he pays for everything around here.
Ooh, I'll kill you.
Call Luke at 248-663-4748. Get a plan going. Or maybe you want to modify your plan to avoid your future collapsing.
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything around here, right?
Yeah, who wants to hear that? Security Investment Advisory Services of the Reliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Reliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned and other entities, and our marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Reliance Associates Incorporated.
I thought it was always a good time to get fucking rich.
So, are we on to number 10?
Yeah, and this is the one I was talking about that I used to love from The Unplugged.
Great song.
A cover, another cover.
Did Bill Monroe write this?
Maybe. You know, it's one of those things where it's like an old Southern folk type song. So he might have recorded it. I don't know if he wrote it.
I know he played it a lot.
Leadbelly did.
You know, Bill Monroe is great because a lot of great people record his music and his. He was writing songs in the 30s and 40s, I think. I wonder how many people are just fast-forwarding through the Nirvana part.
Bunch of haters.
I hate Nirvana. No matter what band you bring up, somebody hates them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I would think they'd be in the wheelhouse of this audience. I really do.
Yeah.
Bill Monroe wrote Blue Moon of Kentucky, which has been done by so many people. Did he write San Francisco Bay, maybe? Let me see. Everyone's recorded San Francisco Bay. Clapton, I think Clapton and McCartney both did it for their Unplugs. San Francisco Bay songwriter. What song are we on now?
Number 9, Drain You, which I have no complaints about. I love this one, too. I didn't know this, though. It said that girl called it the Bohemian Rhapsody of Nevermind.
I don't know if I want it this high. I don't think I will.
Really?
Yeah, I like it. No, I'm not saying I don't like it. All right, number 8.
Let's see what's 8. So far away. Didn't mean to treat her so bad. She was the best girl I ever had. Someone covering the San Francisco Bay Blues.
There we go.
Yeah, looks like a cool guy.
Is this Bill Monroe?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that Bill?
Yeah, pretty much.
Some random
I don't know if I've heard his...
No, it's some other joker on YouTube.
It sounded ancient.
8 is about a girl, which everyone knows.
Great pick.
Yeah.
If anything, I put it higher. Jesse Fuller wrote San Francisco Bay. I think Bill Monroe made it famous.
7 is Lithium.
Like I said, it might be number 1 for me. I love Lithium. Love, love, love. But it's top 10. Can't complain.
6 is Dive, which is another Sub Pop. I know. This is where they're trying to be too cool. It's not a bad song, but once again. Yeah.
Love the bass line. Gotta miss Chris Novoselic. I was watching some of these live performances. What a badass bass player. And what a lot of noise that three-piece made.
I mean, it's an okay song, but yeah, 6.
All right, 4.
5 is Something in the Way.
Oh, Something in the Way?
4 is Breed.
I want the Penny Royal Tees and the Pollies and the Come As You Are's up here, but...
Oh, Breed's so good, though. I don't know why they always have to have the...
Heart-shaped box, all apologies. No, it's heavy. I guess it's a matter of if you like Nirvana heavy or Nirvana light.
Okay.
Number 3?
Yeah, 3 is Sliver, which I think that's a phenomenal choice. Are you aware of this song?
I am aware of it, but I just can't believe it's number 3. Mom and Dad
went to I don't think this should get more play on the radio than it ever did.
That's what happens with a lot of these songs, because I find myself saying, well, I do like this song, but I know so many others better.
But it's like the perfect song for him, too. It's about, you know, childhood. But it's one of those songs, too, where it starts with Kurt singing and then turns into him screaming.
You're the best grandma ever.
I'm kind of surprised. It does sound like a radio song to me.
Yeah, well, it's short, too. It's not a long song.
All right, number 2, another one I'm not happy with. But I like the song. Like, 6 through 2, I just thought I would put other songs in all of there. I'd put Lithium in there. I'd put Heart-Shaped Box in there. I'd put All Apologies in there.
Yeah, but everybody knows In Bloom.
I know.
It's a great. Oh, man. I don't know. I have no complaints.
It's a great song. I just like others better, but... I can't really object In Bloom being up high.
And I don't think it's any surprise that number 1 is Smells Like Teen Spirit.
This In Bloom gets a lot of airplay, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought so.
And Teen Spirit probably gets a lot of credit, too, just for really launching grunge.
Well, it's like amazing.
Putting it into hyperdrive.
It's really kind of amazing how one song did launch grunge, because it really is true. This song, and I remember this song leaped out of the radio. I remember playing it, and it's one of those things where we were still playing 5 or 6 songs an hour when this came out on riff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you turn the monitor down because what are we going to do? Okay. And this is one of the songs where you go, wow, what is that song? Because usually you're really not paying attention when you're getting ready for what you're going to do. And I go, damn, that is a really cool song. And it just was so different. And everybody was playing it, and it just jumped out of the radio. And then the band jumped out.
I'll never forget this. I remember, so I'm in high school. Obviously, this song was so huge. I'll never forget that MTV made a big deal about airing the video. We're going to air the video with the lyrics.
Ooh.
Because that was the thing. It's like you couldn't understand Kurt's lyrics, which is like, well, yeah, you can. They just sometimes don't make total sense. I don't know why.
The video was crazy, and it stuck out, too.
But I just remember going, why is it such a big deal to know the lyrics? It's, whatever.
They went down to a high school, I believe it was, and asked for volunteers to be in the video, of which there were many, of course. But there you have it, the top
cool list.
25 songs out of the 102. That
Name one other band that's done that.
Speaking of three pieces that get a lot of noise out of their instruments, saw Muse on Thursday night.
Oh, yeah. How was Muse?
I got to tell you, and I like Muse a lot. I think they're a very good band. They're not very my top, five or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Best show I've ever seen.
Oh, really? That good?
Hands down, the best show.
What'd you like about it?
Just the visuals, along with how much noise that he can get out of his guitar, how Matt Bellamy can get out of it.
Here's Jim Bentley on the concert.
Oh, yeah. No, we saw him. He was rock. He was totally rock.
He is a huge Muse fan.
Huge. But, you know, so it helps that I like the new album, because I think they played 7 songs off the new album. All of them, which I really like. But
was it a sellout?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it was, I mean, I thought it would be. I assumed it was. But
yeah. But, hey, Brandon, play the one video that someone took. I actually was looking for video because they did. It's almost like, Iron Maiden would always have their monsters and stuff, like huge sets. And when they perform live. So they had this screen behind them. You know, it's almost like a cross between Pink Floyd and Iron Maiden, because there's a lot of lasers, too. It sounds like a simpleton explaining it now. Because I was entertained by lasers. But then they brought out this giant inflatable, alien robot thing.
I love when the Stones had all their inflatables. Look, love that.
Drew, I've never seen an inflatable as big as this fucking thing. And listen to the crowd in this video go, which is basically the same reaction we had on our side. Which is just like, oh my God, what the fuck is that thing? You can see him growing out of the back of the stage. And he's the size of the whole stage. This giant animatronic.
Somebody shut that girl up, please.
I know, she's really annoying.
That's massive, though.
Now, it seems silly to be really excited about the thing, but god damn, it was cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
My favorite Muse song, too.
Yeah, Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah.
Yeah, are we going to continue to hear her, by the way? I was just curious.
Oh, I don't know. I think she shuts up now.
Piercing
voice. Look at all the cameras that came out, though, now that the monster's out there.
Oh, God.
But at one time...
Not as many as at the Bad Baby show by percentage.
I don't know if you can tell by scale how huge that thing is, but it was pretty impressive. But I recommend, even if you just kind of like Muse, to see them live whenever they come around.
You know, rarely do you see a three-piece that really only has 3 pieces on stage.
Well, there's a fourth at a touring musician that kind of hide next to the drummers. But, man, just a phenomenal show.
Yeah, notice on some of those Nirvana live cuts, just a couple of them. Pat Smear is very prominent on stage.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, I don't know if people really consider him a member of Nirvana. Did he go in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, by the way, with Nirvana? He probably didn't.
He better have. He absolutely
he
should
He was considered
have.
A full-time member at the end of the...
Yeah.
Okay, by the end.
Nirvana, yeah.
But, which was the part that really mattered, I would think. Can you check that, though?
Yeah, sure.
Because Pat's in the Foo Fighters, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he could go in twice? Pat Smear could be in the Rock
What
and
if the germs get in?
The Germs. I forgot about the Germs.
His first band, wasn't it?
Darby Crash and the Germs.
She didn't she die?
Oh. Yeah, Darby Crash committed suicide.
It says that Pat Smear was not inducted with them.
Thank you. That's what I thought.
What? Why?
Because he wasn't.
He did join them on stage.
Yeah, he played with them.
That doesn't seem quite fair.
Was he? I know he was a full-time member, but was he a full-time member during the recordings of Heart Shaped Box?
I don't think so. No. I think that's why.
Heart Shaped Box.
Well, show Trudy respect.
Trudy would call it, yeah.
Give her due.
She's going to be so bummed.
I kind of want to go back to the tape and make sure it was her.
don't bother her.
Well, I think she will. If I don't.
Don't give her the idea.
Hopefully she can get a thanks for not listening to the podcast for this. Somebody will tell her.
Don't tell her.
Do
bunch
anything
of
without
narcs
getting
out
busted
there.
On this show.
So many narcs.
I know. It's ridiculous. And I did want to... You want to put on Breaking Podcast News?
Oh.
Hey, just right here, some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit.
Yeah. No Bullshit News with Charlie the Duff has a new episode. Bob Ficano. Yes, Bob.
Wow.
That Bob Ficano.
Now, was he here? Or
no,
was he
I don't think he was.
So I told Charlie.
Charlie,
I said,
it's very simple. Charlie.
I said, if he meets you at the house, what you should do is stand outside, and when you see him pull up, walk up to him outside the car door, because usually he escapes into the car. Now he's coming out. It's like, that'd be a perfect way to get him.
I think it's almost better to have Bob on the phone. I think in person it would be hard for Charlie. Well, no, Charlie never had a problem with him in person.
Oh, God, no.
I always think it's easier to interview someone on the phone. I mean, you want them to be in studio, but if they're not, if they're like, oh, I can't, I'm on the phone, it's always a little bit easier. I don't know why. It's like you don't have to gauge every reaction and go, oh, I don't think you like that question. Or,
yeah.
So there's that. But No Bullshit News is also 60,000 downloads away from the 1 million mark.
Nice.
And that's a weekly show.
That's great.
I mean, this episode with Huel, which is technically three episodes back, it's 28, number 28. 500
Hell
shy
yeah.
of 50,000 downloads for a weekly podcast. That's amazing. He has really built an audience. And Elric is doing the same thing. He got the Daniel Ferguson edition. Yep. They did a story on it on Fox, too. And that thing has popped 22,000 downloads now. And they're over 100,000 downloads on that show now already after just
six
episodes. And No Filter is over 100,000 downloads as well. And they're going to be back with, again, Final Four tomorrow. No Filter Sports with Eli and Denny and Bob Page. They had Terry Foster on the Thursday show, which was, a lot of that was about Izzo. There was a talk about the game, of course, but a lot about just what the history is with the players and Tom. And I think those guys and Terry disagree a little bit about Izzo's coaching methods, but Terry covered him for a long time. Yeah. So I thought it was, interesting.
What you doing, Terry?
Conversation. That was Terry Foster, actually, he was talking to there, apparently.
Bag up, bag up. Bag up, Terry.
How far in are we, Brandon?
Put in reverse, Terry.
Oh, about an hour and a half, a little over.
Okay.
By the way, Brandon was telling me that Marcus, his neighbor, loves the sounder for Breaking Red Shovel Network.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, Marcus loves
it. Does someone not like it?
I don't.
Just right here, some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit.
I mean, I like him.
Does he like the voice talent, too?
I think that's what he likes about it, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay, it's not the sounder. Cool. See, the sounder, that's what new sounders used to sound like. And Elric's playing those old radio show intros,
Which
are really, they're really well produced. Radio doesn't do production like that anymore, so I like them, too. And that sounder, it was always the teletype sound. Was
it?
It
just cuts right through, though.
It does. It's pretty piercing. Intern Kennedy.
Yeah.
Has been cheating on us.
I know.
She did another internship and she got a scholarship for it.
Very hurt.
I know. I was happy about the scholarship, but then when I saw it was for another internship, I felt that she cheated on us.
I can.
And we donated to her GoFundMe for the podcast.
Did they?
Nobody named a scholarship after us. or there was no scholarship. I mean, that was like a scholarship, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
We wrote a story about it, but Nine Sports, who did not report on her GoFundMe or Kennedy's life-changing internship here, they blow up this big story on her getting the in-shape Gene Lee Jeff Marvin collegiate scholarship. So
does she know who? I wonder who are Gene Lee and Jeff Marvin. Do you think she knows?
No, I don't. Somebody should
sorry,
warn
not
her.
Sorry.
Somebody should warn her.
Sorry, not sorry. Should we call her?
I'm sure they did something nice. No, we probably shouldn't.
But we're listed in the press release, in case you didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, under the bio, okay. Kennedy Broadwell, Kennedy is stunning, sports media, sports and recreation, and expects to graduate in 2021. She is interned with Indie Humane, the Drew and Mike Show, and she is currently the programming intern with 913 Sports.
Wow.
So,
and look at that headshot they gave her too. Look at that.
Beautiful.
Know, that's very nice.
Very proud of her.
Yeah. And the new 20 something podcast is about the Drew and Mike Show.
Congratulations also to Amanda Thayer, Casey Arsenault. I don't know. These are our people that won.
Oh, actually, yeah. It's good for you.
I think she has a new episode up. So she's still.
Oh, she has a new one up?
Yeah. She's still cranking
check
episodes.
It out. Then just a couple things that were kind of sitting around over the weekend. The 23-year-old who impersonated the missing child,
what
Timothy
cocksucker.
I know. That is so horrible. And this guy was inspired by the 2020 where that kid was kidnapped and then he got away when he was 14. Remember the 2020?
Yeah,
it was a two-hour one. This guy kidnapped this kid that was 7, I think, kept him for 7 years,
oh,
molested
yeah, of course.
Him.
Uh-huh.
And then the kid went
yeah,
home.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot.
Yeah, he busted the guy. He was about to start molesting another kid.
California. Mm-hmm.
And the Reaney family, his name is Brian Reaney. His father said when he heard it was a 23-year-old Medina man charged in connection, he said he knew it was his kid because he's such a manipulative.
What a loser.
How hard is that to have a 23-year-old and you know he's that so fucked up that as soon as something comes up like this, you know it's him.
So is he charged?
Yes, he is. I think he's, yeah, I believe he is charged.
Is Kim Fox going to drop these charges? Oh, wait, that's not her jurisdiction.
No.
I mean, how is this different than Smollett?
Well, I think this guy did.
How is it different?
He has some mental illness.
So does Jussie Smollett.
I know. I think Jussie Smollett, in a way, is worse because he's actually a...
Should know better?
Should know better.
Has more resources.
He's making $100,000 an episode, and he was... wanted to make himself bigger by doing it. This guy, I don't know
that,
what
and
this
he wanted
guy's
to marginalize to. An entire group of people who voted for one particular president.
True. It's funny, I don't think about that part as
he
much as I do about putting the city to work for hours and hours to solve this fake crime.
Yeah.
He had a long rap sheet, this guy did, including he somehow got into someone's house and invited all these people to a party on Facebook, and they trashed the house in 2017.
No,
I know. It's ridiculous.
Now, the first thing I thought when I said that, when I saw that he had watched 2020 and decided this, I thought it could have been Drew. Because you watch so much investigative ID.
That's true.
That you could get some kind of crazy idea like this.
Drew to get away with it, though, because he studied it.
Yeah, that's
he
true.
Chose not to take a cell phone. Not to buy any kind of insurance and cash in it.
I know. I was thinking about all these people who kill their spouses. Why did they think they're going to get away from it? You're the first or get away with it because you're the first person they look at. There's security cameras everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Your phone tells your story. I mean, the phone is really a big problem because for anybody to say, oh, I turn my phone off all the time. It's like, oh, come on. Nobody turns. Do you guys know anybody that turns their phone off? Maybe old people.
Yeah, only at night, which is silly.
Yeah, so somebody turns their phone off for 3 hours.
I do know people whose battery dies.
That's true. That usually sounds like an excuse to me.
Yeah.
Somebody says, oh, my battery died. That's like on Catfish when they say that they're, oh, my FaceTime, the camera broke. It doesn't work. I don't have FaceTime. God, the excuses on Catfish are just amazing. It's like, wait, you've been talking to this person for 5 years and you've never been able to video chat?
Well,
never?
Happened to Dina Lohan.
Anybody want any more Catfish?
They don't know anyone with a phone?
I mean, Lindsay Lohan's mama. Mm-hmm.
Did Lindsay Lohan's mom ever meet that dude?
I don't know. He's dying to bang her.
Yeah, he said he was going to give her the rod right away.
Oh, God, what a creep. Speaking of phones, I was listening. There's an old David Spade interview.
Yeah.
It might have been with Stern. and they were talking about Norm MacDonald.
I saw the same thing. This week.
Yeah, somebody sent that to me too.
It was with all the Norm impersonations, right?
Yes.
But I was laughing when Spade's like, so I called Norm up, asked him if he wanted to do something. He didn't call back. He didn't reply. And I called him back next week and said, what happened? He's like, you called me? Which I just thought was really funny.
On my phone?
On my phone?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
But then he said, yeah, I got your message.
That's so funny.
Or Nick Schwartzen's story about him calling him up and saying, hey, what are you doing? He's like, I'm at the bar watching the game. I'll go be there. And then then 8 hours later, he shows up.
Hey, where are you going?
Where are you going? Let's have a beer.
Yeah, he was hammered.
So funny. Norm is just
the best.
That
was a pretty good, if you want to play that, it's a pretty good string.
It's really long.
We don't have a boner line. Well, we could play 3 minutes of it. How long is it?
Oh, it's long.
There was another good story in there, too. I think it might have been. It was another Spade story where he wanted Spade to come back and eat with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, I'm turning in. He's like,
yeah, it's 17 minutes.
And so then the next day, he's like, hey, Spade, if you want to come to my room and hang out and get some food. And he said he would. And I ordered all this food. And he never showed up. Make him look like an asshole.
Like some of your friends, like, you know, seriously, like those guys who came out of Saturday Night Live, like Sandler, Chris Rock. There's a lot of guys who sort of all of a sudden are like real big
Everyone's
players.
Doing Norm got his own TV show.
Norm's doing well. What?
What?
You hang out with Norm or is it impossible?
It's pretty impossible because he's crazy.
He is.
In LA, I call him and I go, what happened last week? I called you to go. You called me? And I go, yeah. On my phone? I go, yeah. And he goes, oh, yeah, I got that. I go, you didn't call me back? No.
And he's serious.
Yeah, he's crazy.
And yeah, I know. Like, I have him on the show.
I love him, though. He's the funniest guy around. I think you need to be kind of crazy to be really funny.
He is very funny.
Do you remember the time you called me up one day? You go, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm watching baseball. And you're like, can I pick me up? And I was like,
I don't drive.
I go, I'm already at the bar. I don't drink, so I want to drink and drive. I'm like, it's not far from you. I'm like, you want to just take a cab? And you're like, yeah, all right, I'll meet you in a couple minutes. So I'm like, okay. So I wait. I watch a full game. I watch another full game. I watch half of another game. It's 8 o'clock at night. And I'm like fucking hammered. I leave the bar. Norm's walking into the bar. It was noon when he called me. It was 8:30 at night.
He goes,
where are you going? And I'm like, I'm fucking hammered. I'm going home. He's like, I just got here. And I'm like, I know. You're 8 hours late. Like, well, I have a fucking beer. Right? Being weird. I'm like,
You're getting weird.
I can't walk or see.
I call up Norm. I said, Norm, you want to go to Palm Springs? It's a 3-day Jim McClane course. Yeah. So I pick him up. He rides out there with his feet out the window all the way, listening to Johnny Cash. Remember that?
Yeah.
And we get out there, and the next morning, I call him to wake him up to go. He's sound asleep. I got to call him like 3 times and knock on his door. Then he gets up, and he goes, I can't find my shoes. He looked me with a little kid.
I saw you on Conan once, and you did say, you said crack whore and midget several times.
Yeah.
So then I did do a thing, full confession. I did Norm MacDonald as an alarm clock. And it was like, this is what I was, wake up. Hey, wake up there. There's a crack whore and a midget in your bed. So I just thought that was really funny, right?
What
that
about the other impressions?
Drunk guy comes up to him at the bar and goes, hey, aren't you Norm? And he's gone.
He's just suddenly gone.
None of this.
Norm's back at the bar going, hey, what happened to that guy? Where'd
he
go?
That's not easy room for two characters.
I get you down. That's pretty good.
Here somewhere. Brandon, see if you can find the other Schwartzen story.
Is voiced by Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
I don't. I'll look
and
for it.
And that is he's just a blob.
He's a blob.
Yeah, and how did you get Norm to do it? I love
you
Norm
MacDonald. I asked him, do you want to be a blob?
Yeah, forget it.
And he said, I'll be a blob, so why not? That's how it happened.
Is that really?
Yeah.
Are you buddies with Norm?
I don't know Norm super well, but I've been a huge fan of his for many years.
Yeah. Already?
Well, the other one was, I think he sent a text about it's the last day of filming. And it was like 11 o'clock in the morning, and Norm had sent a text at 8 a.m. to a group of people. There's like, hey, you want breakfast? Nobody replied because they were all sleeping.
Yeah.
So at 11 o'clock, I think it was Schwartz, and then sent one out like, anyone for breakfast? And Norm was mad because You stole my breakfast bit. I don't know. He's just so different.
He is. Well, it's refreshing to me to hear that somebody who is kind of the comedian's comedian mm-hmm. is somebody who I do think is entirely unique. Really cool.
Who's that dude?
He's coming. Doesn't he have a show coming?
Yeah. Roy Logue?
Yeah, I wish we could get him on.
I think he already turned it. I turned it Dune.
What?
Yeah.
Was he to sell out too fast?
Probably.
Doh! Yeah, the psych.
Buster Dune.
The psych furs are coming. I'm really hoping we can get.
He's coming September 20th.
Richard Butler.
He's doing two shows at Royal Oak.
Both sold out that fast?
I can buy tickets right
can
here.
You,
so.
Can you see how many tickets are available? Maybe we can call and go, boy, that Norm McDonald show is going
not,
so
not
well.
Not many.
Not many.
Not many. Fuck. So.
Well, what a what
I mean,
a,
good
what,
for Norm.
What a bummer to want someone you really like show to bomb so they, they have to come on your show.
I know.
Not that it would mean that he would, but. You know, I was looking at Brandon's prep and.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Brandon. And the story about this B. Howard, who claims he's Michael Jackson's actual biological child.
I just saw his face and laughed out loud.
I know. It is funny because there's a vague resemblance. And by the way, who's this Mickey, the mother, who did we ever see a picture of Michael Jackson with Mickey?
No.
M-I-K-I?
Well, how old is this guy? How old is this kid?
How old is he, Brandon?
He is beep up or 38 years old. He was born in 81.
No okay. way.
But here's the thing.
Okay, this is a guy that wants children, loves children more than anything. Why would Michael Jackson not be pointing out that this was his kid?
He if looks he was. Like Jackson after yeah, everything.
He don't want to have to pay money.
He looks like, in other words, if Jackson's genes carried all his cosmetic changes,
yes,
exactly. Look
yes.
like him. Yeah, that's kind of what I saw.
Wait, well, what does he say when that's pointed out to him?
Maybe he had the same procedures. Maybe it's in the genes to get the procedures.
So Mickey concept. Howard, let's see. Mickey Howard was...
She was a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, and Joe Jackson was her agent.
Oh, I'm starting to believe this guy.
Joe Jackson.
Why would Joe Jackson agent? Care?
There it is. Right
He's
there.
Also produced and performed on records with LaToya!
By the way, Joe Jackson would be the worst agent possibly ever.
Why? Because he would take 50% or he'd
at
beat
least.
You?
No, I think he would just forget to pay you for stuff.
Yeah.
He'd go, I did not send you a check for that tour.
You got a problem with that?
I got a check on that. I'm pretty sure we already paid you.
You got a problem with that? Come on, attorney Leonard Rowe.
The Jacksons never paid anyone.
No.
Everything they did as a family, too, which, of course, Joe gets to run because it's family, or the Michael Jackson 30-year thing. There's always lawsuits for years from people who aren't paid. And the thing's always, I mean, they're always huge. They're always sellouts. It's not like there's no money coming in. But
Why does he just go by B?
I don't know.
B. Howard.
I thought the coolest thing about the story, though, was that they said that when people ask about, you know, him being Michael Jackson's child, he refers to being a member of Michael's family very politely. Like, he doesn't want to get into it. Like, I don't want the advantage of being Michael Jackson's child, but yes, I am.
In other words, I can't officially confirm it, but go ahead and think all you want.
Yeah. But they act like he's really classy about it.
then he's definitely not a Jackson.
No.
There's another great Jackson story, too. Michael Jackson's groundskeeper has broken his silence, Drew.
Wow, I was wondering what would happen. Didn't he sign a no-disclosure agreement?
Well, I guess, but maybe maybe it died when Neverland died. Ray Robledo, oh my gosh, he wrote a book called The Gates of Neverland. He was recruited in 89 by Jackson after he lost his job at a game reserve, and somebody recommended him for the job. He said one of the most shocking parts about the ranch, Neverland Ranch, was the zoo. He says, they had a donkey-typed animal called a zonkey. I was told that a zonkey was a cross between a donkey and a zebra.
Huh?
Zonkies, also known as zebroids.
Wait, are these like the things that Napoleon Dynamite loved
liger?
So much?
Yeah,
the ligers.
Apparently, it's a real thing, though. It's a cross between zebras and any other equine beast.
What's it called?
It's pretty much my favorite animal.
Including stallions. Zonkies or zebroids?
Zonkies.
Yeah, look, here's a zonkey. It's cute.
Yeah, or a zebroid.
Cool. Let me see.
And Jackson loved them.
Wow, I love them too.
But of course, because of the way they're bred, they have health problems, and then they're bred for their their magic.
Yes.
Jackson also was experimenting with crossbreeding between his other animals, which included a 16-foot-tall giraffe named Jabbar, presumably after Kareem.
What the fuck? Jackson? A lion. It's funny how people want him to be this normal guy, like... Oh, wait, here we go.
When he's crossbreeding animals.
No, what the fuck?
He brought off the other boners.
It's a Nazi thing.
A zonkey.
What's a liger?
It's pretty much my favorite animal. It's like a lion and a tiger mixed. Bred for its skills and magic.
Skills and magic.
By the way, how do you get animals to crossbreed?
You take their penis and you stick it in another one's vagina. Yeah, yes.
Michael Jackson's doing that?
Those are totally pretty close.
That's why he wore one glove.
Zebras and donkeys and horses, they can all get it on with each other. It's not like it's a zebra.
But if there
and a
was
cat.
Some giant species that was like three times my size and it tried to make me get it on with a dog or something, I'd put up a fight. I wouldn't just do it.
You think so, but maybe you're not getting any.
Well, maybe donkeys and I guess donkeys aren't that evolved.
This guy also wrote that Jackson spent a fortune to hire.
Why the fuck would he do that? What, I mean, come on. This is the guy that buys kids from people. Has 10-year-olds sleeping in his bed.
He's trying to play God of every sort.
Doctors put him to sleep with propofol every night.
I want to know what other crossbreeding he was trying.
This guy is so nuts.
The island of Dr. Moreau.
We got to get this guy on to find out what other animals he's breeding. But he also says Jackson spent a fortune to hire a deer chaser. Anybody care to guess what a deer chaser did?
I have no idea.
His sole job was to stop animals from eating Michael's prized roses. So I guess he would sit by the roses, and if an animal came by, he'd go, get away! Get away!
I wonder who worked harder, the umbrella holder or the deer chaser? I bet you those guys fought. Oh, man, your job is so easy. He never leaves the fucking house. Oh, like there's people trying to eat the roses all day.
I think I'd rather be the deer chaser than the umbrella holder. Although the umbrella holder got a lot of camera time if that's what you want.
He did.
Despite it all, the high times crumbled in 93 when Jackson was accused of abusing teen Jordy Chandler. I love that they have no problem using his name now. Neverland was crumbling. I knew it was just a matter of time that my employment at the ranch would be over. Jackson's formerly giddy attitude changed and began to spend most of his time alone. When Michael did show up... When Michael did show up at the ranch, there were no more train rides or carefree conversations with him.
What?
Jordy Chandler ended all the train rides at Neverland?
Yeah.
I think that's bullshit.
Probably. Well, I think he was laser focused on molesting the next two. The author admitted, I don't know everything about Michael, but I knew that he loved his fans.
I remember seeing him on the train. He was going around. There was a bunch of twinks in the train.
Well, yeah,
and big old Jackson.
It was weird.
I know. It was so weird.
Well, how else are you going to get to the bedroom in the train station if you don't take the train there?
I mean, it's hard enough to separate one kid from his stupid family, but at least when you got 30 kids there, you can find the weak link. You know, the starstruck parent you can separate easily.
If I would hurt a child, I would slip my wrists. I would never hurt a child.
These fucking people will never let their kid be alone with me.
Woo!
The only way I can get them to be alone is to go on a train ride. They're not starstruck at all. Woo, woo! Hey, kids, do you guys want to see my zonkey?
My zonkey.
I'm crossbreeding a donkey and a zebra today. Woo, woo! My next one's going to be to crossbreed a giraffe with an elephant. I'm going to call it a jellyfint. I'm going to crossbreed Jordy Chandler and James Safechuck.
Jordy Safechuck.
Hey, what about Jordy Chandler and a donkey?
I'm going to crossbreed Gavin with a zonkey.
A zonkey. Oh, my God.
It just seems so Jackson.
Someone sent me this story, and I was actually disappointed I didn't read more about it, and it seems like you never read much about it. The Michigan Supreme Court voted 6-0 and ruled that 40,000 state residents can proceed with their class action suit over the unemployment
Oh, excellent.
Program that was purchased from somebody in Colorado for, I think it was $47 million. And this was to provide algorithms that would identify people who were cheating on their unemployment. And then they charged them. The program, by the way, was wrong 93% of the time. Mm. And the people were forced to pay back four times what they'd allegedly stolen from the state. Now, they have
that didn't work out well, didn't it? That didn't work out well at all.
For the state.
Okay, they work out either. Great, I'll just shut up now. The first part was good, though. The second part wasn't good at all.
Most of these people have not been made whole from this, by the way, which to me is, wait, yeah. This is in 2015. What, you mean to tell me the state can't pay these people back? They stole their money. Mm-hmm. They took four times, and I'm sure not everyone was able to pay it all, but it's just one of those stories where there's no way to not to see how wrong this is. And they tried to fight it saying, up, you got 6 months to file against the state. 6 months.
They didn't even know until after 6 months.
That's what they argued about was, no, the first people knew then, so it should have been filed then. And it's like, wait, but there's other people that didn't find out until here.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of people, like, it didn't just cost them all that money, but they lost houses. They lost their entire families because of divorce over
there
this
was
stuff.
There was, I believe, two suicides that were, you know, it's hard to say cause and effect, but there was a linking between what the problems that this caused and what happened in those people's lives. I mean, they really fucked a lot of people up. A lot of people said they lost their homes, and there were a lot of divorces, and there ought to be a suit, and they ought to take care of these people. What the fuck? And by the way, every time I see this story, I'm expecting, oh, finally, there's going to be a picture of the asshole that bought this thing for $47 million. Why do we never find out who decided to buy this, who sold it, why it doesn't work? Did we get our $47 million back?
Oh, no, there's no
way.
I mean,
seriously, does anyone give a shit about this? And then the funny thing was, I remember somewhere in the chain of the story, they said that the same company had just sold a similar program to the, I believe it was the federal government for like $150 million. I'm like, oh, great. Mm. That's just great. So who's that going to fuck up? And by the way, why is it not?
How come it didn't include any maintenance on the software when they sold it to them, too?
Well, you know, they said when this whole story came out, somebody did contact the company and said, we never said it would work. It's like, oh, really? Is that how you sold it? Hey, we got this program. We don't know if it'll work. We have no fucking idea.
Isn't that a normal expectation when you buy anything?
Yeah, that there's there's support people, yeah. And that, yeah,
can you imagine
works.
An auto? Can you imagine Ford or Chrysler? Well, we never said the car would work.
Well, you know,
it's ludicrous.
That's how I feel about these platforms is, really, you have this great invention, Facebook, whatever it is, and you're not responsible for what it does.
Hey, it works too well.
You have no responsibility. So if somebody murders 50 people on Facebook, then you just go, oh, oops. I mean, don't we really do accept that? We do. We go, oh, okay. Because, I mean, honestly, is anyone really losing sleep over that? It doesn't seem like it.
No. Well, they always claim, our algorithm was off. We're gonna fix our algorithm. And everyone just goes, okay, I don't know what that is, but sure.
Wouldn't it be nice if everyone could run their business that way and go, oh, it didn't work? Wow, no idea. We'll work on that.
Did you see the bill? I don't know if it's gone all the way through that Australia has passed where they could actually jail the executives for showing videos like that.
You know, honestly,
they could imprison social media executives if their platforms stream real violence, such as the New Zealand mosque shootings.
I'm stunned that there's nothing like this, that there's no legislation. There's nothing. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg said, God, we need somebody to hold us accountable. We can't hold ourselves accountable. Are you kidding me?
I'm shocked that the head of a public corporation is asking for the government.
Well, except that it's such a clear fail. I don't know. Maybe it's reverse psychology. Somebody asked the government to do something and they won't do it for you.
So to that point, you know, the fear with the Australia thing is that they're just going to go, okay, no more live streaming, which I don't have a problem with that.
I don't really have a problem with it either.
No more live streaming.
No, there's so many. This is the problem with everyone has a voice. Everyone shouldn't have a voice. And there's crazy people who are going to do stupid shit. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the, you know, you can almost extend that argument to, I don't want to go into guns, but, you know, with assault weapons, unfortunately, there's so many stupid people who, for whatever reason, have a clean enough record to buy an assault weapon, and even though their neighbors know they're fucking crazy, the guy selling it doesn't know that, and that's the problem, you know, and also there's so many laws that aren't followed, and on and on and on. Ugh. So many assholes out there. Spice Girls tour is in trouble.
I know. It's over. I thought they are wrapping it up. It's done.
No, it sounds like they're going to have to do some dates. There's some. I believe they've sold tickets for them, and it sounds like they're going to do some.
I'm sure they're going to give it their all.
Yeah, they were going to do a lot more dates, and there was a lot of money involved. And apparently this Mel B saying that she got it on with Jerry Halliwell,
yeah,
that they had a relationship for a year, that has just blown this thing to smithereens.
That should help them.
I would think it would too, but apparently Jerry Halliwell, first of all, she married a really loaded dude.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't need the money. Mel B is the one that needs the money.
Oh, why would she
do Mel, does Mel B not sound like the most insane person possibly ever?
Uh-huh. Bad choice in men.
And the funny thing is Mel B is saying, she's making me look like a liar. I'm the victim.
Victim of what?
Well, because
I thought it was a good thing.
She's saying I didn't have a lesbo relationship with her. I loved her.
That's a good thing.
Some people just have no sense.
Who besides Mel B in this group needs money? Do the other? Because Beckham doesn't.
Well, baby.
Baby Spice does.
Beckham's not on it. So.
Oh, so that's. When are Sporty and Baby going to break their silence?
I think they have said something. I don't remember what it was. Nothing major. Nothing like Mel B. But this reminds me a little bit of, did I talk about Selling Sunset from
Yes,
Netflix?
You did. Yes.
I did. Okay.
Yeah.
We talked about that on the podcast the other day.
I think so, yeah.
Well, this girl marrying this guy, he's 25, and she used to get it on and live with the guy that ran the real estate company, and she's a realtor, and this conversation about their relationship, I'm watching this guy sitting there going, could somebody please change the subject? Does he really want to hear about their year together and why they split up and why they got back together? And it was really strange. It was like this guy wasn't in the room.
And is he the boss now? Wait, which one was the
boss? Yeah, he's the boss. And he was nailing this hot, really hot realtor.
Oh, maybe he thinks that I won. She's mine now.
Well, he didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
Somebody else brought it up, and he was just answering questions. And he said a couple times, you know, being the guy, the only other guy in the room, he's like, you know, can we talk about something else? I'm sure he doesn't want to hear about this. I mean, I'm like, oh, well, if somebody gets it. And a couple of the chicks, they were a little drunk. They just kept going, well, why did you get back together? And then what happened? It just seemed really, really rude. So, I don't know. I don't understand. Well, I think we probably talked about this too. I don't understand these people that stay friends with all their ex-girlfriends, boyfriends.
Go on vacation.
Whatever. Yeah, go on vacation.
That's weird.
I don't know. It should be, I guess. Well, he wants his mother and his father on vacation. Well, yeah.
You know what's better than that? Two separate vacations. One with mom, one with dad.
I know. And that's a pain in the ass, too, because the kid only has so much time off. I was talking to somebody who's telling me that there's less divorce now. And it was
less marriage now.
Exactly.
All that was the answer. Divorce now? Great.
That was millennials are killing the divorce attorney world.
Kill everything.
Because I was like, wait, but I know so many people get divorced. That seems impossible. But yeah, people are getting married later.
Yeah.
Now, is that number?
I feel
is
like
that
the
a
people
lot
I know,
later?
I feel like the people I know that are getting divorced don't have kids, which isn't a big number. Or the people that I know that have gotten divorced don't have kids, whatever that means. But we're Gen X. So.
I just know so many people on their second marriages now.
Yeah.
And usually they're happier. I just think they're older and they take things a little differently. And plus they know they kind of fucked up.
They realize life is fleeting and nothing's that important.
Maybe. Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah. Well, and also.
It takes a while to come to that realization.
I tell you what. You guys are just in the beginning of all this, but when the kids are grown.
Learned that a long time ago.
Things are a lot easier.
Oh, when they're grown?
Yes.
Oh, I just meant in general I learned that a long time ago.
You learned what?
Life is fleeting. Nothing matters that much.
Life, true. Well, that's a good thing to learn, too. I know.
Yeah, you do the best you can.
I mean, I don't like the idea about, you know, of just not caring about anything because life is fleeting. But, yeah, I know.
God is dead.
Hung up on all those. Hung up on all those little things. And
well, that's kind of the real point.
You know what I was thinking about was for example, you know, the first few days in a new radio market or the first promotion or, you know, opening day. And you're like, oh, God, there's going to be so... You know, because it is a lot of... I think it's the energy that's required to do it and hoping everything goes well. But then lately, my new thing is... I can't quite attach this to appearances. I think I'm, if I could do no more appearances ever, I would say yes. And it's not because I don't like meeting people. Yeah. It's an outpouring of energy and I get overwhelmed and I worry about that. It's not a success. I worry that is everybody having fun?
It's the anticipation. Yeah.
Yeah. And that,
are you doing okay?
And if you plan it on, you know, let's say it's January 15th, you agree to it and the event's March 1st. It's like for 6 weeks, I feel like there's something hanging over me. Like, wait, there's something I'm worried about. What is it? Oh, that fucking appearance. Ah! Oh!
So the handful of times that I've done, like, Let It Rip on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, they'll ask you on a Wednesday.
That, no, I would worry that would be, there's no way, that would have to be a really late invitation that I just agreed to on an impulse. Julie, otherwise, I'd worry for days.
Julie gets really bummed because she knows it ruins the weekend. And she's just sitting there going, it will be fine. Who cares? And I'm like, I do.
Well, you know what?
I get really nervous about it. I don't want to. I don't want to look stupid. I don't. I want to know what I'm talking. I think I know what I'm talking about. I don't want to do it.
I get really uptight every time. You know? Do you realize that cameras have been in this house like 5 times since we've started this podcast?
You know what's funny though? Like, so
more than 5.
When
Mike Clark died, there were 3 camera crews here in one day. It's like 3 camera crews. First of all. Channel shit all over here. My house.
Yeah. Channel 4 is here separate time.
Yes. There's Channel 2's been here like 4 times now.
2 separate video crews have been here.
Yes.
For 2 separate things. Mm-hmm. But it's funny when ML had the cameraman here for Daniel Ferguson. It's different though because it's on our turf, I guess.
No, I was going to say it is different when it's on your turf. Even it feels better over here than at the radio station just because I mean, it's a double-edged sword.
The studio, I thought, looked pretty cool on the last story ML put together over the weekend.
It does come over pretty well, and it's always fun when people come in, and they seem like they kind of, they like it. They think it's cool.
I did get a text from someone that said, hey, who's Ashley F? I'm like, Ashley F? What does that have to do with the story? I couldn't figure out.
Ashley F.
It's on the whiteboard to call Ashley F about college, and it was our in-studio auction winner.
Ashley F alleges that she's going to be done with college by next May. So
we got to
call her
back
and find out.
But I'm like,
and congratulate her, hopefully.
It's just funny what people see in the background.
I know. I've added a lot of things in the last month or so, and I've been a little surprised that people haven't said, like the clock.
Yeah, that's a sharp clock.
It's a cool clock. Nobody's mentioned it.
Okay, people out there, can you please notice things in the background? Drew's knickknacks?
I think it's cool when people notice weird stuff like that.
Even though it raises my own anxiety level?
Maybe we need to just pan the camera around the room quickly.
The knickknacks, my OCD drives me nuts.
Well, if anybody goes to the Instagram page, there is a walkthrough of the studio.
Okay. Yeah. But is there a recent one?
No.
Not since you put that clock up.
We need to do one of the Silence of the Lambs room as well.
Oh, man. It's not that bad. Well, I wouldn't want to
ask the lady in the hole.
I wouldn't want to spend the night there, but.
The amazing thing is it just keeps going and going and going.
It is creepy.
A lot of spider webs. It's very dark and damp.
My theory, though, now on moist. Things that I'm not looking at is moist. That I'm not that I'm not looking forward to is that. Oh, it'll be over. Like Sunday will be gone before you know. I just think that in such a short time, we'll be going. It's over because it seems like time goes faster and faster.
It does. You get older.
It does.
It's a smaller part of your life.
So there's that.
It's really dark.
I'm trying to go. There's something else I was dreading. Oh, I know what's hanging over me. This guy that left the fucking field pass and the part of the Silver Dome roof in exchange for my seats. That's still hanging over me. Because I still own the seats. I never agreed to the deal, but his shit is here.
He's wearing you down.
He is.
Just let him have it all and be done with it.
I keep seeing it and going, I either want him to take it back. I want to leave it out with the seats and just pick it up. Can you just pick it up or can someone take it? So I think he picked it up.
You're talking about the worst frame thing of all time, which is an alleged piece of the Silver Dome roof.
Yes.
That
a trade that was made without ever being consulted for the seats to the Silver Dome, which I don't care about because they're still sitting outside. But it's just the principle that I never agreed to the trade.
Is it a piece of the Silver Dome roof? It's cut into a shape that doesn't exist in geometry. It's not a square. It's not a rectangle.
Maybe ever signed anywhere.
I don't know what it is.
It could be a piece of a tarp. Who knows? I mean, is there authenticity with it?
No, did you notice what the ticket that's framed with it is?
No.
Do you know what it is, Brandon?
Isn't it just like a parking?
It's just a parking ticket. Parking? Like
what?
50, yeah, which
not
they never
the
issued.
Ticket?
They never issued parking for Lions games, did they? Wasn't it always on? It was either the hang down the window.
Yeah.
On the rear view mirror, or it was just included in the ticket price. I don't ever remember seeing those kind.
Well, you know how that deal turned out, right?
Unless it's that old.
Where'd he get that? Is that from the Silver Dome?
I'll go grab. I'm staring at it right now.
See, it's hanging over you.
How can that? I know it is. How can that be worth the seats? It's the seats.
First off, it's not. But
oh, it's not even close.
I love how it's falling out of
but
that.
Now
frame.
I'm stuck with his thing, and also yeah, the frame breaking. It's like oh, I'm going to get blamed for breaking the frame now when I give it back.
Okay, I take it back. The piece of the alleged roof is cut more rectangular than I remember, but it has fallen off its scotch tape posting.
It's one side's fallen to the bottom of the frame. The frame's coming off. You just know it's one of these things where you go, what? This thing was perfectly framed and square. What happened?
It says parking pass only. So it's just a parking pass for the Pontiac Silver Dome. I don't know what event.
I don't. I thought, didn't you pay when you drove in?
I thought, or if you were season ticket, parking? Then you had the
yeah, rear season, mirror. I guess. So many questions. So much hanging over me. It's fucking and what else was part of the deal? That's... That and what was the other thing? Is that all I got?
I think so.
For the seats.
I think so.
For two
That's
seats.
Pretty bad.
Really?
It's a pretty bad deal.
It's got to be reframed. Is there any authenticity? I don't think
what do you
so.
Mean? It's perfectly cool the way it is framed. What a joke.
Memories of the Pontiac Silver Dome in rustic Pontiac, Michigan.
My favorite Silver Dome memory is from 1993 when me and my man was sitting in section 305 plastered off our asses. That spilt beer all over my best warrant cherry pie tea. So naturally, after I smacked the idiot, my got to be free and hang out the rest of the game. Then, in the second quarter, my tubes combined with Barry's second TD got him so excited, I had to give him an HJ right there in row 46. After that turd finished, I was on such a roll. I took on section 306 through 308. The Dome ain't never seen so many completions in the second half. Lions rule.
What a great memory.
It's my girl.
It's funny about those Silver Dome memories. So many of them are rooted in truths.
No, Silver Dome memories. Cocaine Wayne.
Yeah, that's one. Or the one that popped, the chick who popped her top.
Yeah, there were, well, you know, I'm trying to think, what did, wasn't there a story that somebody, I know somebody told us this story, and I think it was true, where somebody just peed on the back of the fans in front of them, just like was so
yeah,
hammered.
We had
just
pictures
whipped it
of
out.
It. Yeah. That was that monster truck, though. I think.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I think, yeah.
Monster truck.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I had a beer poured on me when I was like
eight. Is that this
one?
Is that this one here?
Yeah.
Memories of the Pontiac Silver Dome in rustic Pontiac, Michigan.
I'm hammered, I mean poo-pooed, at Monster Truck. Gravedigger's coming up, and I gotta drain the lizard so bad. Anyways, no way I'm missing Gravedigger, so I start whizzing in a beer cup. Just as I'm topping this off, Gravedigger's engine roars, and I'm so frickin' psyched, I give this chick in front of me an accidental golden shower. She's got this big-ass hair. It's like she could have used a couple inches off of that anyways. So I'm like, hey, sorry, it's cool, I'm clean. It's not like a foamy whiz or nothing like that. Next thing I know, her boyfriend sucker punches me. We brawl. I end up in O.C. J for 2 weeks because I had a couple outstanding warrants and my old lady wouldn't bail me out. Stupid bitch! I guess that's my Silver Dome memory.
I think my favorite part of that is we brawl as if it's such a given.
Oh, the Silver Dome. God, there were great fights there.
Oh.
There were such great fights. You'd see the entire Lion bench would be looking up at a section and go, oh, it's over there.
It was usually, wasn't it usually in that corner, upper deck corner of the Lion side? Would,
yes.
Would that be the southeast side of the Silver Dome?
I don't know. Yeah, it'd be south. Yeah, it'd be, yeah.
So like the press box side.
Though, I was thinking west too, but... were a lot of brawls. It's funny, too, how many rows could be involved in the brawl.
Well, because you'd tumble. It was so steep.
It was pretty cool.
Oh, man, I love that place. That place was great.
It was,
Taliban
it was one of those
stadium.
Places.
Is that what you used to call it?
Yeah, it was so gray. It was so dreadful.
It was
but it
perfect.
Was really, it was home. It was fun.
Perfect.
A lot of fun times out there. Okay, so I guess we'll be back tomorrow with Trudy. You want to get us out of here, Brandon?
Sure.
No boner line today.
Sorry about that.
Hall Financial Hotline is officially shut down. Click the link to Hall Financial on our webpage or call 248-308-5000 for David Hall Financial.
Now we can watch this barn burner of a national championship game go Baylor.
Yeah. Oh, do we have a bet yet?
Yeah, we have money on Baylor.
How much money did you put in?
I think just 50.
Is that on our MyBookie account?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
MyBookie.com.
I think we have to give up 2.5 points, though.
MyBookie AG, promo code Drew.
Talk about a coin flip. Nobody knows anything about either of these teams.
I just know this Notre Dame bitch will never hire a man, so I don't like her.
Well, we don't know. Does Baylor even have a man on their coaching staff? Are they even coached by? Who's their head coach?
I don't know.
Is Brittany Griner still on the team?
You know what I didn't know was they said the Notre Dame coach and the dude, who, by the way, said he hires women too, but he would never say he was not
Gino.
A guy.
Yeah.
What was their? Was that what their gripe was over? Was it over her comment?
I have no idea.
I mean, the idea that...
I don't care.
Two coaches in the women's Final Four have a
big grudge going on, a big beef. It's a new... It's one of the best rivalries in sport, UConn-Notre Dame women.
Oh, boy. I really don't mean to knock women's basketball. I appreciate all the work these girls put in to get scholarships, ladies, whatever you want to...
It's not on par,
it's not
period.
On
the, That's all that matters.
This whole idea that it has to get as much attention when it...
Yeah.
People aren't as interested. They're just not. It's not the quality of play.
Hey, packed arena there.
Yeah.
But it's an arena. It's not a dome like the men
big
play.
Crowd.
What arena is that in?
Tampa Bay.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it's like 15,000
oh,
or 18,000.
Oh, the lightning
play. Oh, boy. Look at the one. They're the host.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm going to watch this. See ya. See you tomorrow, Trudy.
Of the Pontiac Silver Dome in rustic Pontiac, Michigan.
My favorite Silver Dome memory is like when Wayne Pons got in trouble for the mystery cocaine. Mystery my ass. Anyhows, we're losing, so I'm riding everybody. Hey, Loomis, you fat Hey, Cocaine Wayne, you suck! These kids in front of me is laughing their asses off. I'm on fire. So I stay on a roll. Cocaine Wayne! Then I see this lady leaving, bawling her eyes out. I'm like, geez, lady, it's only a game. Quit crying and sh-. Guy next to me says, that's Wayne's wife. So I'm like, hey, chill out, Mrs. Cocaine Wayne. Big ass laugh. You suck. Yeah, being on a roll, that's my best Silver Dome memory.
Memories of the Pontiac Silver Dome in rustic Pontiac, Michigan.
Oh, that's easy. Like, my Silver Dome memory, my best one, is from Lions game in 95.
Yeah.
Right after Barry scores, the big screen shows this chick with huge jugs cheering. And I'm hoping, you know. Anyways, as soon as she realizes she's on the screen, almost by an instinct, she pulls up a top. No bra, perfect, big, fat ass, 42 double Fs. Nipples like sand dollars. Well, you know me, I'm a sucker for a big pair of tubes. I pop a rod. Anyways, 7 years later, she's my wife of 4 years and the mother of our twin daughters, who are 6. I guess that's like my favorite Silver Dome memory and shit.
Memories of the Pontiac Silver Dome in rustic Pontiac, Michigan.
I'm not Silver Dome memory. I'm at the motherfucking Bears Lions game and shit.
mask on. So this honky in a Chicago jersey get up, start clapping. So I said, hey, dumbass, you must have forgot you in the motherfucking Motor City. Don't be doing that shit. Smart ass said, be cool, man. I'm just cheering for my team. I said, nice try, Mr. Hatch. You can punch a guy twice. Left, right, left, right. I think watching the paramedics carry his sorry ass away is my favorite Silver Dome memory ish.
Memories of the Pontiac Silver Dome in rustic Pontiac, Michigan.
My favorite Silver Dome memory is when my husband took our two sons, Kyle and Jeff, to the Lions-Packers game in 82. My husband wanted me to do the laundry while they were gone. I sure did take on a few loads that day. Of my neighbor Tom, that is. The next Christmas, I bought my husband season tickets, and every year since. They have never missed a game, and I certainly don't miss them. I can't wait for Ford Field. Go Lions!